much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What better way to test my love than to lick it? Does it really taste as bad as they say? Let's find out.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Woo! 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q, L.A. and O.C.'s rock alternative. And it's L.A. and O.C.'s alternative rock. What can I say?
Well, at first it was a real brain twister, but then I remembered a quote from a renowned poet from my earth, Alfred Yankovic.
Are you talking about Weird Al?
Why, because of the hair? Get to the point already, if you have one.
And now, how are you, Marisol?
Hi, good morning.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
23.
And what celebrity do you most resemble?
I don't know. Mexican?
Our feature presentation.
Oh, right? Marisol.
It's still so good.
I miss her.
That famous celebrity Mexican, you guys.
Sure.
Hey, welcome on in to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time we're doing it for a Monday, the 6th of March, 2017. How are you, ladies?
Good.
Doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah. How about you, Bean?
Well, I'm concerned now that I know we live in a world where President Obama was wiretapping all of our phones.
Sure,
I've had to go back and, like, in my mind, think what I possibly could have said that's going to get me in trouble with the government.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these days, you know, they're listening to everything.
Sure.
All the time, always.
Yeah.
So that concern. And I assume that's why Kevin's out today. I assume he's got some digital scrubbing to do of his life, I would think.
Like he'd have any idea how to even begin that.
Pete, I'm sure they tuned you out like 5 seconds in. They're like, oh, Edmund Fitzgerald out.
Oh.
You're fine. You're probably fine.
So my conversations are too boring for the government to want to wiretap, is what you're suggesting.
Good.
It's possible.
All right. But, so there's that that bombshell revelation over the weekend. That came as a surprise to many of us, I think.
See, you say that, and people listening are going, wait, what? Obama wiretapped everybody?
He's wiretapping everybody. That was my takeaway.
All right.
You don't know, man.
Okay. Let's just leave it at that for the dummies.
Oh, you're just going to give him a pass. I see. So it's okay with you. He can just listen in on any conversation he wants. Does he not even need a warrant for you?
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, they are doing that anyway.
Oh.
So this isn't news to me.
Well, there may be that, too. Anyway, so it is Monday, and we do have a pretty good show planned for you today. I want to start with a story, and I worry sometimes because I always try to come up with something that I think is something interesting to kick off the broadcast, because I feel that that sets the tone of the whole show. If this segment falls flat, I feel like then we're behind the eight ball, and then we never really get up and running, and then I sink the whole show.
Well, at least you have a good gauge of what's interesting. Yeah.
Thank you, Allie.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So there's a lot of pressure.
So we have you to blame for Friday?
Perhaps yes. There's a lot of pressure on me to get this right, and my fear here, and I'll read the headline, and then you tell me if it's worth going on. My fear here is... not again with this story. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to give you the headline and then you go, oh, I'm so bored already because we've heard it a million times. But I think this one just gets in under the threshold. So you tell me if this one's okay. Ex-husband alarmed as Nevada woman remains on loose 2 years after poisoning his Lucky Charms cereal to avoid having sex with him.
Oh, that's
will you allow
awful.
It?
I'll allow it. Only if it involves a bank and then she robs it and waits there.
No,
she didn't want to go home.
That's not this. Again, headline. And by the way, this is not the Weekly World News. This is from
this
the
is
Daily.
Real.
This is Daily News, New York City. Ex-husband alarmed as Nevada woman remains on loose 2 years after poisoning his Lucky Charms cereal to avoid having sex with him.
So he's just becoming alarmed 2 years later?
Apparently so. Yeah.
Okay. Delayed response.
All right.
He was interviewed by the news because his. Well, I'll tell you the story. I'll back up. He is speaking out 2 years after his ex-wife, who remains on the run, poisoned his Lucky Charms cereal. And by the way, I think it's the detail of the Lucky Charms that made me fall in love with this story.
Okay.
Kind of just boring if it was just cereal, but the fact that it's
Lucky
Charms.
Yeah, if it was cornflakes, who cares?
But Lucky Charms is just so fun, and you're having a magical moment, you know what I mean? Just having having your little marshmallows.
Cereal.
And the next thing you know, boom, poison.
Ugh.
Andrea Hemming pled guilty to contaminating her husband's food, which apparently is what the charge is, by the way, contaminating her husband's food when they lived in Nevada after she said he had unwanted sex with her while she was asleep.
Oh.
Now, I know better than to joke about any kind of sexual assault, but is that a thing where you have sex with somebody and they're asleep?
Absolutely. Sure.
And does it happen? I mean, it's hard to tell from this article because, once again, never enough information for me. Was this just a one-time misunderstanding, or was this his M.O., I wonder? Like, does he, like, lay in bed at night waiting for her to fall asleep so he can make his move?
Ugh.
It just doesn't seem like that's a good strategy.
I'm pro-poisoning all of a sudden.
Right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't use that much to kill him, she said, just enough to make him not have an erection, is what she told the cops 2 years ago in a police report. Hemming bolted before her sentencing in Clark County, Nevada, and has not been seen yet. I was very surprised, her ex-husband, identified by News 3, only as Ralph, told the station. I thought we had a better system of keeping track and holding people responsible. Well, Ralph, I thought you had a better system of maybe not having sex with your wife while she was asleep.
Right.
Authorities say Hemming poisoned her husband by putting boric acid in his cereal, his energy drinks, and whipped cream, according to the station. Now, do you guys know anything about boric acid? I feel like I've heard of that before.
I've heard it. I don't know why, though.
I think they even sell it like in the...
For rats or something, no?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
And so how much whipped cream is he eating if she has to poison it?
Well, he's eating Lucky Charms, too. This is Kevin, essentially. Let's be
Kevin,
honest.
Look out. Cereal, energy drinks, and whipped cream, according to the station. It caused Ralph diarrhea for 6 months and nosebleeds.
Oh.
And Ralph didn't admit to this, but we heard earlier in the article that the woman said she wanted to give him enough so that he wouldn't get erections anymore. So Ralph was having a tough time. No wonder he wasn't having sex anymore.
Yeah,
diarrhea, nosebleeds. Yeah, right? Ralph did not want to go on camera in this interview out of fear of his ex, but he did detail some of her past behavior. Now listen to this. She revealed to me a story where she was a flight attendant at one time, and she had a passenger who she said was unruly, so he put sedatives in the passenger's drink.
Oh.
So Andrea just loves to poison people, doesn't she?
She's pro-poison.
She really is. So she got away, you guys. She was convicted and then apparently was not being held in Nevada and was expected to show up for sentencing, and she just split the country. It is thought that she is in Mexico. When asked if he wanted Hemming captured, Ralph told the station, yes, which I think is a great quote at the end of the article.
Great quote.
Yes, was the quote. So anyway, believe me, now that this is in the paper, I'm hoping that there is increased focus on finding Andrea. I would love to see more of this story and find out how this one shakes down. But there you go. That's how's that for a story to start the day, huh?
Yeah, I think it really sets the tone.
All right. I think we've all learned a valuable lesson today. Let's talk about today's All-New Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable with that.
Well, too bad, because we're here anyway. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in the newsroom joins us in about 45 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Beauty and the Beast is now a controversial film. Apparently, there are two places where you will not be able to see Beauty and the Beast, it looks like. One is in Russia. And for the same reason, the other is in a small drive-in theater in Alabama.
Oh.
We'll find out why Beauty and the Beast is out in those two locations coming up on today's All New Kevin and Bean Show. We've been looking forward to talking to her about the Nintendo Switch, and today we have Alana Pierce on the program. She is a reporter for IGN, and she also, in addition, by the way, to the Nintendo Switch, which I know a lot of people are very excited about, she recently spent some time with virtual reality porn and virtual reality strip clubs.
Oh, my.
So I'm in. So we'll see what Alana has to say on the program today. Our old friend LaQuisha is back for week two. She is once again going to be recapping Mama June from Not to Hot for us, which is a new WeTV show.
I can't imagine she's happy about that.
LaQuisha does love dumb white people, but this may even be too much for her.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Arian Foster is our favorite NFL player of the offseason this year. I think you're right. I think we need a pay-per-view because he claims, and apparently he's given a lot of thought to it because he is waving off all detractors. He claims one-on-one he could beat up a wolf. Now, I don't know where that came from. I don't know why that was on his mind.
Yeah.
But we will investigate the story on today's All-Day
Kevin just Bean know show. That his number one defense, thumbs.
Thumbs.
Amazing.
I mean, he's not wrong. He does have... you know, opposable thumbs. The wolf doesn't.
That's a good point.
Is that enough?
You know what else doesn't have opposable thumbs and can kill you? Mm. A tank.
Well, true. That's also true.
Thank you.
And every week we roll out a new awesome contest for you. And this one is Incubus and Jimmy Eat World. How's that for a double bill? They're going to be playing at the Hollywood Bowl. We're going to give you some tickets for that. And I don't have it up, but if I remember correctly from last week, I think the grand prize this time is you win tickets at the Hollywood Bowl, and then you're in the drawing to see them again in a city called New Orleans, Louisiana.
And breakfast with Bean.
Well, I don't recall that.
Cannot wait.
I'm not sure.
Can't wait. Slumber party with Bean.
I don't think any of that was
omelets with Bean.
Part of the deal. So anyway, we got all of that, plus Ralph's got the showbiz beat when we return right after this on K-Rock. Best request for Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico, our producer, was insisting on some Hoobastank this morning, so we're happy to take care of him for that.
Yeah, rocking the stank.
Right? It's been a while. Hey, it's Monday morning, 5:54. How are you, Ralph Garman?
I'm well, sir. Thank you.
Anything fun on the weekend?
No, just busy. Yeah. It is a Monday morning, as Bean mentioned, and so we're taking a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Logan slashed the competition this weekend.
His fingers or blades.
They're not fingers or blades, okay? They're claws. They're adamantium claws, Allie.
Adamant's in it.
It's going to be a long effing Monday, I'll tell you that. Logan debuted with $85.3 million.
Wow.
$85.3 million.
It's a lot.
You know, it's funny because we come in here and a lot of times we go, wow, good box office for, you know, this movie or that movie. It's $30, $35, $40 million. And every once in a while, something like this comes along and you go, oh, yeah, much more is possible.
This is a record breaker for R-rated films in the month of March.
Oh,
wow.
All right.
So it's the most highly debuting R-rated film in the month of March, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
This was a success.
In other words, it was a success. $85.3 million, number one. Get Out, the Jordan Peele film, still doing very well, with $26.1 million, was number two. Then The Shack. People showed up for The Shack.
Sure.
That was the God's house. Movie, right?
Mm-hmm. It's God's shack, and you go there. And he sends you a letter with no footprints, and then you go to the shack.
There's one set of footprints.
There's no sets of footprints. That was the thing, Allie.
Because
if there had been a set of footprints going up to the mailbox, I don't think it would be that impressive.
Because
a mailman would make
footprints
going to
a... He was carrying the mailman.
$16.1 million. The Lego Batman movie was fourth. Before I Fall was number five in its debut with $4.9 million. Then John Wick, Chapter 2. Hidden Figures, The Great Wall, 50 Shades Darker, and La La Land coming in at number 10.
No big bump for Moonlight after winning the Best Picture Oscar, huh?
No big bump. No big bump for you. Hugh Jackman, speaking of Logan, seems like just the best dude, just like the nicest guy, showed up to several random screenings of Logan in Manhattan Thursday night when it debuted.
Fun.
Just showing up, saying hi to people, taking photos with fans. The appearances were not pre-publicized. They were not announced. Turns out he just wanted to thank fans for coming out to enjoy the movie and for all the support they gave him in that character for almost 20 years. And he just would show up and just say hi to people.
Nice.
Very nice.
He's the coolest.
He is pretty cool. Congratulations to Natalie Portman. She had a very good reason for not attending the Academy Awards a couple Sundays ago. She was busy playing mommy to a newborn baby girl. The actress and her husband, Benjamin Millepied, welcomed Amalia Millepied on February 22nd.
And that little baby could grow up to be Adolf Hitler.
No, Amalia can't. She is joined. She joined her five-year-old big brother, Aleph. Interesting names there in the Millepied family. Aleph, I believe, is a Hebrew word.
Yeah, I think they both might be.
I don't know if Amalia is or not. Amalia may be more on the French side of the family. But we'll see. We have a new, well, soon to be, new member of the United States of America. Patrick Stewart has announced he's going to become a U.S. citizen.
Okay.
We'll take him.
He's joining... he's renouncing his British citizenship and becoming a U.S. citizen in order to help fight against President Donald Trump, he said.
That is an odd choice.
Yes.
Isn't it? Isn't he in his upper 70s?
I believe he is 70.
been knighted by the Queen. Yes. Seems like he's very well invested in his birth country.
Maybe mm-hmm. he'll retain dual citizenship. It does not say here if he's going to give up his British citizenship.
He's 76.
76? That's yeah. unbelievable. So he's a very virile, vital 76.
He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS.
I don't think so. I believe his wife is American, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So that All right.
Might be a little extra motivation there. And he also lives here in the States.
His wife is 38.
That's what I'm talking about.
You go, boy.
Peace, Stu. Go, peace, Stu.
Now, Ralph, what can he do besides the obvious, which is cast one vote against Mr. Trump if he runs for re-election? What else can he do as an American that he couldn't do as just being Patrick Stewart the Brit?
Fight, fight. Oppose, oppose.
Okay.
That's what he said in his statement. He says, I want to be an American too, because all my friends in Washington said there is one thing you can do, fight, fight, oppose, oppose. But I can't do it because I'm not a citizen. Well, he's going to become a citizen, and then he's going to fight, fight, oppose, oppose.
Hmm. Very odd.
Make it so, number one, he's going to say to people.
Okay.
Ali has no idea.
Yeah, he said that on the bridge.
There you go. Wow.
Yes!
It took us, I don't know, 10 minutes, but you got a fact right.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Today's celebrity birthdays, Rob Reiner. He's a director of feature films and a very talented actor in his own right, 70 years old today. Tom Arnold turns 58. D.L. Hughley, he's 54. Connie Britton. Connie Britton.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Connie Britton. She is 50 years old today. Shaquille O'Neal celebrates his 45th birthday. And Tyler, the Creator. It's 26. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
21 Pilots on K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ for a Monday morning. Keep listening for your chance to win tickets to see Incubus and Jimmy Eat World. They're going to be playing the Hollywood Bowl. Also, we got Beauty and the Beast tickets for IMAX screenings on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. And Ralph is going to roll out the first of many giveaways for Paley Fest 2017. That's all coming up. First, though, Monday at this time means we catch up with our good friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Bean and Allie.
Hey.
Good morning.
So, I love these stories. I don't love them, but when these stories come up, like the one we're going to talk about with Lewis Tomlinson from One Direction, I always think, man, this is one of the toughest ones to think about, because you have a First Amendment right to stand there and take somebody's photo, but at what point is that interfering with my ability as a citizen to be able to move about freely? And I guess that was another encounter at LAX this time, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was an encounter that got him arrested. And it was citizen's arrest. And what happened was, apparently the photographer got in his girlfriend's face. They scuffle. The photographer says he hit his head on the ground. I will say this. I'm pretty sure this case is going to go over to the city attorney. These are you really kind of hit it on the head. They're really hard cases for prosecutors to win.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even if there's a technical battery, jurors feel this. And exactly what you said about give me some space, it's hard to really kind of sympathize and connect with a victim when you feel like they're intruding on space. And they have a tough time getting convictions in cases like this. So a lot of times what happens is prosecutors will sit in the case and it just eventually kind of goes away and dies of its own inertia. But my guess is that's what's going to happen here.
How are there any kind of this must be something that you have to talk to your team about all the time, because you're at LAX taking pictures.
It's in their contract. I mean, if people don't want to be photographed, we back off. And at least that's the direction we give. But here's the difference. I mean, our guys are on salary. Mm-hmm. And that means that if they get one video, five videos or whatever, they get the same thing. The problem is there are a lot of photographers that are independent contractors, and they don't really work for anybody. They sell their stuff.
Yeah, their livelihood depends on that one shot.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And what we try and do is disincentivize our guys from doing that by putting them on salary. But when independent photographers do that, you know, they don't make any money. And
right, right.
There are a lot of them out there.
What was the actual problem with this One Direction photo? Was the photographer just literally too close to Lewis's girlfriend?
Yeah, I mean, they're getting off a plane and they're tired and probably a little bit cranky. And then all of a sudden you got this guy right in her face, in the girlfriend's face. Mm-hmm. And you know, he says that he felt like the photographer had crossed the line. Again, these are really, really tough cases for prosecutors.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys have even had your own share of, you know, problems with Kanye in the past, right? With just too many photos, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Kanye has become absolutely great.
He's a delight now.
He's great. But, I mean, there was a time when he would, you know, even when you were standing your distance, I mean, he a couple of times literally would walk up to a camera and break something on it. but that has kind of passed, and he hasn't done that in a long, long time.
That's cool. All right, well, we'll wait and see what happens with this this One Direction case. That's interesting. Chris Brown back in the news.
We're not talking about fun stuff, are we?
No, we're not today anyway. Chris Brown, look, you tell us the details of this this court appearance that's getting ready to happen this week, and then you tell me whether at some point he's going to end up back in jail, Harvey.
Well, I mean, look, he's off probation in Rihanna, so it's not like that's going to trigger anything, but here's the thing. I mean, everybody knows what happened with Rihanna. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Chris had said, I was young, I was stupid, learned my lesson, took anger management. Now Carucci, the girlfriend that followed Rihanna, mm-hmm. she's saying, and she's an ex, she's saying that he brutalized her. He punched her in the stomach a couple of times, threw her downstairs, threatened to shoot her, told friends, if I can't have her, nobody can. So she got an emergency temporary restraining order about a week and a half ago, and now she's going back to court Thursday asking a judge to make it permanent so he can't go near her for the next 3 years. She says she is really afraid of him. Now, he has not addressed it directly, but he's kind of insinuated it's BS. But he also has, according to her at least, evaded service. So she hasn't been able to serve him with the legal docs, which she needs to do in order to have this hearing on Thursday. But there will be a hearing, and you're right. And then the question is, if a judge finds that he did this, mm-hmm. then you got to kind of relook at how you evaluated the whole Rihanna thing.
Yeah, and why does he still have such a career? I mean, is it just that his music is so irresistible that people refuse to boycott it no matter how much of a garbage human
he turns out to be? No, he's really talented. No matter
he is
a super talented musician. And, you know, he has got just because you can be talented and have severe emotional problems. The two are not, you know, they're not necessarily polar opposites.
I do wonder in cases like this, and I don't know what kind of evidence the girlfriend has that she was in fact hidden. You know, I tend to believe the woman in a case like this, but if she gets in front of a judge and she says all this stuff happens and she doesn't have any evidence, I don't know if the judge will automatically just side with her and give her the lifetime, you know, ban that she wants.
And I know she, look, what I'm told is she is preparing a case, and there are apparently, now, another person got a restraining order against him a few days ago, saying that Chris has threatened him over Carucci.
Oh, geez.
So now there are multiple people in this thing, and my guess is she's going to call witnesses who might be able to kind of contemporaneously say, yeah, at the time that it happened, here's what she told me, and here's why she kept it secret. So, you know, it's not impossible to prove this. It's just unclear whether she can or not.
Gotcha. All right, let's make a pledge right now, all of us, Harvey.
Something
next week,
more fun next week.
Next week, we're going to look for some fun stories. Exactly.
I promise you.
Let's do it. All right, you can keep up with all the news at TMZ.com, the entertainment news website of record. Don't forget, look for Fox Channel 11. TMZ is on all the damn time. TMZ Live airs at 4 on the same channel, and TMZ Sports airs Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Have yourself a good meeting. Have yourself a good week. We'll do it again next time. Thanks, Harvey.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
You are listening to world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Thanks so much for tuning in today. LaQuisha recaps Mama June from Not to Hot later on this morning here on K-Rock. And by the way, Allie, tomorrow, not only the Bachelor Report with Ralph and P like we do at 8 o'clock every Tuesday, the great director Danny Boyle is going to be in studio with us from the 127 Hours and Slumdog Millionaire and Trainspotting, of course.
Sure.
And he's made a new Trainspotting movie.
I've wondered what became of all those guys.
Well, we're going to find out. Danny Boyle joins us in studio tomorrow. Jeff Probst for the new season of Survivor later on in the week. Jim Rome, so much more coming up on K-Rock. First, though, this is the story of the weekend as far as I'm concerned, right? Arian Foster is a name you may know. He just retired, I want to say, a couple months ago.
Yeah, the end of the season.
Did he retire as a dolphin chimp?
He did.
Oh, then that makes this story even more fun. He is probably best known as a Houston, Texas, an NFL running back, and he, for some reason, spent about 3 hours on Twitter yesterday debating with his followers as to whether or not he could take a wolf or not.
Yeah, one-on-one.
In a one-on-one fight, could Arian Foster beat up a wolf? Now, is there any deep background on this that I am unaware of, Allie? How did this get started? Like, where did this even begin?
The man just has thoughts.
All right. And, he has wolf thoughts.
And when you have those thoughts and you're kind of working through them, why not take a little debate stance with other people that might have, you know, anti-wolf thoughts? And then it just becomes a debate.
All right. Well, as I mentioned, it went on for about 3 hours. So we'll try to hit some of the highlights in the back and forth in the Twitterverse that was yesterday. So would you like to play the part of Arian Foster, Allie?
Would I?
And then I will play the detractors.
Absolutely.
All right. So it starts yesterday afternoon, and he begins it with what?
Want to go camping? But wildlife scares the S out of me. I honestly think I can get a wolf one-on-one, though. What?
So at that point, 2,000-something people liked the tweet that he thinks he can go one-on-one with a wolf.
Right.
And the first to respond is user Electric One, who writes back.
But what does he go by?
He's a Beaver Sutherland.
Thank you.
He's Beaver Sutherland. And here's what he types to Arian Foster. You could take down a wolf? Wow. You'd be dead within 10 minutes. Arian's not having any of that, though.
I'm 230. Wolves are what, 180, 200 tops? He has no thumbs. If I control his neck, he's donezo.
All right, so it sounds like Mr. Foster has given this a great deal of thought.
Then he goes on. Wolves don't scare me like that, because in my neighborhood was a bunch of loose and rage pits. If he alone, I think I could get him.
So did Arian Foster have experience growing up with having to, like, be always on alert for a pit bull in the neighborhood?
He had to protect himself from a loose and raged pit.
Okay, so that's about the same as a wolf,
his
right? Because dogs
swivel.
Equal wolves.
Yeah, he's good.
All right, so Beaver writes back, wolves bite so hard that all they have to do is get a hold of one part of you, would tear you apart. So Beaver is not at all not at all assuaged by what Arian Foster is saying. He's still putting his money down on the wolf.
But then Arian comes back with this. How are we going to bite with half a jaw? Right?
And that's because Arian Foster would have done what?
He would have handled it. He would have punched him, and then that jaw just snaps right in half.
Wow.
How are we going to bite with half a jaw?
All right. Senior Eric now weighs in. But wolves hunt in packs, he tells Arian.
This is where it gets real good. Arian comes back with probably the most genius thing I've ever heard. None of them have thumbs.
All right, so none of them have thumbs. That's where Arian's at.
Yeah.
Joby One Kenobi weighs in. Arian, I feel like you were giving opposable thumbs too much credit. Didn't you see the gray? Wolves are nature's Wu-Tang Clan.
Although, good point. Arian comes back with this. Thumbs means I can grab him. He can't grab me. All he has is a mouth. Grab his neck, he can't bite. Plus, I have the advantage of honking about the wolf, like I'm prepared. If we run into each other in my head, oh yeah, it's on, wolf. He's just like, what's this aggressive species threatening me? And then this. I've studied the wolf. He can't read. I know his weaknesses. Plus the thumb thing.
So Arian feels like he would be better prepared in a one-on-one battle because he has done the research.
He's done the research, and that wolf isn't reading his timeline. He doesn't know he's coming for him.
Wolf has no idea what's about to go down.
None.
All right. Not Terry Collins writes in. His Twitter handle is Mets Fake Skipper. Arian Foster, again, he will claw an artery open or claw your face off. Then you go to grab your arm, and he chews your face off. It's a lose-lose. So Arian Foster is not convincing the Twitterverse that he's still the man in this fight.
I think he won over a lot of people with this one. Bro, you think a wolf knows where my artery is? All of a sudden I'm fighting a wolf that knows biology?
Don't animals have pretty good internal radar on how to fight?
I think so.
I think if you're a wolf, I think you've got some... I mean, you may not be able to read it or write it, but I think you kind of know what part of another animal to attack. Yeah. I don't think a human is much different than anything else. A wolf is fighting, do you?
I mean, you're reading too much into this, Bean.
Beefer weighs back in. This has been debated before, and those who know say a man has no chance versus a wild wolf. 90% of Twitter would die.
I'm in the 10%. What about his teeth and claws? This ain't a video game. One hit and I'm done. It's a fight. So he's basically saying this isn't a back and forth. He's just going to get him one time and he's done.
Take him down.
Yeah, he continues on with, if he bites me, his main weapon is immobilized. Then he becomes vulnerable. This is why thumbs are so important.
Ah, back to the thumbs. Now, look, I get that Arian Foster is a tremendous physical specimen. You're not a running back in the NFL unless you've got a lot going for you.
Sure.
He's going to win in most fights in most situations against people. But he's still just a human, right?
I believe he is.
And a wolf is just a wolf.
I believe that to be true.
Dwayne Brown writes in, who is an NFL player himself, right?
Yeah, I believe.
Dwayne Brown, 76?
Mm-hmm.
He weighs in to the controversy now. Was scared to pet my silver lab.
Not scared he'd bite me, scared he'd try me, and I'd have to kill your dog.
Whoa. All right. Now here's where it starts to get ugly. This is where Twitter sphere is getting annoyed at Arian.
They are fed up with Arian.
They're fed up with all of his confidence. Frijole Forever writes in to Arian Foster. A wolf also hasn't had a groin, hamstring, and knee injuries in the last 6 years. Advantage, wolf. So he's basically bringing Arian Foster down as damaged goods, as not the peak physical specimen that mm-hmm. he claims to be.
Mm-hmm. Here's what he says about that wolf. Also hasn't been to 4 Pro Bowls, overcome those injuries, and doesn't have thumbs. Advantage me, effer.
Yay! Arian. Ladies and gentlemen. There it is, Arian Foster versus the Wolf. And I'm telling you, and you said it earlier today, Ellie, if somebody doesn't immediately put a pay-per-view together, then we are just leaving money on the table.
What clip did I send
you? We're actually on the air. Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Monday morning at 6:54. That's the voice of Ralph Garman.
And it is.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It's a Monday morning. It means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Logan! $85.3 million made it number one this weekend.
Your little friend Dave, the producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, was just raving about how much he loved that movie yesterday.
Everyone is. They say it's terrific. Get Out, $26.1 million, was number two at the box office. The Shack debuted with $16.1 million. That made it number three. Then Lego, Batman, and Before I Fall were the top five movies at the box office. John Wick, Chapter 2, Hidden Figures, The Great Wall, 50 Shades Darker, and La La Land. Those were your top 10 movies at the box office. The Bachelor, which is going into its very special 3-hour episode tonight.
Come on.
Come on, Allie. You come on.
You come on.
You get 2 hours of sweet, sweet Bachelor action.
Okay.
And then, like a great recap, you get an hour of the Women Tell All. That's when we find out what really went on behind the scenes, yo.
So last week was 1 hour.
Means the return of Corinne.
The Vagine.
The Vagine's coming back.
Yeah, great.
The Platinum Vagine. So
last week was a 1-hour show, and a lot of it was the
Fantasy Suite. Just one Fantasy Suite
with Raven, right? So now we'll see the other girls.
The other two more Fantasy Suite dates tonight, and then, as I mentioned, the Women Will Tell All. And by all, I mean.
Okay.
Right.
We got it.
Come on.
Anyway, the reason I bring that up is because the ratings for The Bachelor are at a 3-year high.
Really?
Going into tonight's episode. So
he's so boring and awful.
Shows no sign of slowing down. The Bachelor phenomenon.
What is your prediction, Ralph, as to how this season will end?
Hmm.
Will he end up engaged to one of the remaining ladies?
He's already said publicly, at least on last week's episode when he was talking to Andy, that he feels no obligation to get engaged at the end of the process.
Wouldn't that take him out of all the other shows he could then star on? If he was engaged, he couldn't go on that Bachelor at the Beach show.
Bachelor at the Beach, yes. One of my favorites.
Whatever it is.
Bachelor Beach Party, I think it's called.
Is it?
Frankie and Annette.
Perfect, yeah.
I don't know. He's doing Dancing with the Stars, but I don't think that precludes him one way or the other being attached.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know.
Huh.
Okay.
I literally don't know, and I think that's one of the reasons people are sort of interested in the season this year because sort of anything can happen.
Now, will you be happy or sad if he picks Frenchie, Vanessa, that you love?
First of all, she's Canadian, all right? So back off,
French-Canadian.
And I would be happy if he picked her, but sad if she said yes.
Yes, because she's way too good for him.
Right.
Okay. I think we're all in agreement there.
There is still yet another Mission Impossible movie in the works. Mission Impossible 6 has been announced. Tom Cruise is producing, of course, and starring along with Rebecca Ferguson. Simon Pegg will be back. Jeremy Renner are expected to return as well. The new star, however, will be Vanessa Kirby, who plays Princess Margaret on that TV series The Crown.
Oh.
No kidding. She is a lovely and talented British actress who is 28 years old and will play Tom Cruise's love interest in the film as he approaches 60. So,
how about
sweet
that?
Sweet baby Jesus.
Yeah.
That has been a very good series, by the way, the Mission Impossible films, I think.
Yes, it has. I agree with you. Speaking of ageism in Hollywood and inappropriate, did you watch Feud last night? Did you catch Feud?
No, thank you.
I recorded
Joan,
it. I've
Joan and
it.
Bette?
No, thanks.
What do you mean, no thanks?
Yeah, thumbs down on Susan Sarandon. Not a fan.
Oh, my goodness.
No, thank you.
On an Academy Award-winning actress, Susan Sarandon, you don't enjoy her work?
Nah.
I'm sensing it's a political issue.
Might be.
Yeah. Anyway, saw it last night, first episode. Really, really good.
Can't wait. Very excited.
Watching those two talented actresses battle it out. It was very fun. And speaking of battling, this guy, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
So much
him?
Battle.
I don't know if you saw it on the news, but there was a guy in New York City who was doing a live shot.
Man.
Al, you could appreciate the live shot.
Yes.
You've had your share of live shots.
Well, that's a term in the
your
news.
Career. You're,
we could stick with the news.
You've taken a lot of live shots, haven't you?
If we could just say it's just a reporter
been a
going
lot
live.
Of shots with you
just a reporter
on the receiving end.
Going
saying,
live from a location.
Shots.
Wow.
His name was Sifan Kim. He's a reporter for WABC-TV in New York City. He was doing a live shot in the Lower East Side when a man in a hockey mask came up and attacked him.
Oh, my gosh. No.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Put his arm around him, started to threaten him, saying, put the camera on me, put the camera on me, what's up, what's up? And that's when Sifan Kim, a U.S. Army Reserve sergeant, went into action mode, started to fight him, and promptly got knocked on his ass by the guy in the hockey mask, who then ran away. He is still at large. Kim is fine, but as you can imagine, rattled in a live-action shot when that happens. The creepiest part was the hockey mask thing.
Yeah.
But then the guy took
about?
The hockey mask off. And it showed his face for the camera. So
for a while, too.
So everyone's looking for him in the city of New York right now. Here's the audio of actually how it went down. It's kind of disturbing.
The countless bars here open late at night on the Lower East Side.
You better know. Majesty the Rebel. Put the camera on me. What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up?
Yeah, it's creepy.
At least he had an important message to get out to the people watching.
He wanted to know what's up. If a guy just told him what's up, then we wouldn't have that problem. If a guy comes up and says, what's up, just tell him what's up.
Just answer.
Just
right?
saying, oh, you know, doing a live shot, that's what's up.
Allie, I imagine that's a real occupational hazard for anybody who's out on the street with a camera is everybody walking by feels like they have to be in your shot,
and
right?
more so lately with the whole yelling things and social media and trying to get on TV and then on social media and make something go viral. It's gotten very, very bad.
Yeah. Do you miss taking all those shots, all those live shots?
You know
Allie?
What? I don't.
You don't miss it?
I don't. I loved them. I got really good at them.
Yeah, I know you did.
Thank you.
I used to hear all the time. People would talk. Today's celebrity birthdays, Rob Reiner, 70 years old today. Tom Arnold is 58. D.L. Hughley, Hughley is 54 years old. Connie Britton is 50. Rest in peace, Raina. Shaquille O'Neal is 45. And Tyler, the Creator, 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We may have to dig up the tape on the Tyler, the Creator appearance on the Kevin and Bean show.
Yeah.
From 2 years ago.
Those good times.
Do you remember that interview?
Yeah.
Hey, I love it when we get a chance to talk to the Kevin and Bean listeners, and that chance is right now. We're going to do an edition of Kevin and Bean's What's Good for this Monday morning. If you want to call on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. Something going on in the news you want to talk about, something going on in your life, you got comments, you got questions, you got problems. You tried the Oreo Peeps, and now you're pooping pink. We want to hear from you on that. or anything else. Maybe not that. Maybe anything else would be what we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067. Be part of the show. We'll take your calls next on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Speaking of three-fourths of that band plus Davey from AFI, Dream Car was in on the show last weekend. They were so much fun. It was such a great interview, and I say that because they were so interesting and passionate about this new project. If you missed it, you should definitely check it out. Either get the podcast from that day or just look for the post at krock.com. I think you'll enjoy it. All right, it's 7:07 Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, call up. So we can be down. 1-800-520-1067.
What's good?
You can call us on any topic right now at 1-800-520-1067, just like Kevin did. He's not our Kevin, but he's a Kevin in Orange, and he's on line one to get us started here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Hey, Allie.
Hey.
I don't know if anyone's seen the news this morning. There was a shootout in Orange last night, even though ABC7 got it wrong for saying Anaheim. I got home around 10 o'clock. You know, cops blocked off my entire street. You know, I'm trying to get in. I'm asking cops to, like, let me in. One of them had to guide me to my apartment, you know? Okay. All night, just cops on the megaphone, throwing tear gas or something. They told us to close our windows. I'm the idiot who left it open and got affected by the tear gas.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was tear gas or what, but something was coming through my window.
What was going on? Why was there a stand-up? Was there somebody in his house that wouldn't come out? One of those kind of deals?
Yeah, well, according to the news, I guess he got in a car accident, or I don't know if he was a part of it, but he came up drunk and, like, called out a knife on the cop. From there, jumped in a car and then shot over to his house. The cops followed him there, and that's when it all started.
How long did it last?
According to the news, 12 hours, which was 12 hours of sleep I won't ever get in my life.
Kevin is not pleased about
his
evening.
He really isn't. But how about an inconvenience for you, but the cops, I mean, they got the tough job. I mean, I see stories like this all the time, and God bless the men and women who decide to put on that uniform and be police officers.
Oh, no, they did a great job. I mean, I'm saying 12 hours. I mean, they didn't break in the door or nothing. They kept yelling on the megaphone. They had a search warrant, but they wanted him to come out peacefully. They did a phenomenal job.
I mean, those are very, very tough situations to work through. I'm glad everybody's okay if that's how it ended up. Thank you very much for the call, Kevin. And by the way, Casey, who, as you know, works here at K-Rock, has her finger on the button during the Kevin and Bean Show. She was involved in an incident coming out of the Korn show at the House of Blues in Anaheim last night, where somebody in a car pulled a gun on somebody else in a car, and it ended up being a big thing. You know, she was there for it, not involved.
I was going to say she was involved, Casey.
Involved
in good Lord.
She was a nearby patron. But the police showed up and closed everything down with guns drawn and stuff. I mean, this is why I never leave my house, Ellie.
That's a good point.
Right? Yeah. I think I'm making the right decision.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's go to Dave. He's on line 9 up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. What's up, Dave?
Hey, I was just calling about, have you guys tried the Peeps Oreos?
Is this Dave, our producer?
Yeah, it is.
Why are you calling on the phone? You could just walk into the studio.
Well, I mean, you know, I wanted just to not bother you guys in your work environment. So I just thought I'd call in and I could continue to work from my desk.
All right, we don't need the time here. Yes, the Peep Oreos. This is just in time for Easter. This is Oreos that have Peeps on the inside.
Yeah, well, I saw online that if you eat enough, then it'll turn your poop pink.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so of course I had to go out and get them and try them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that after ingesting 10 of these disgusting things, I have no update for you. I'm still waiting for the poop.
Oh, we're still waiting to see if
I'm still waiting for the poop. But I'm powering down some coffee, and I think I'll throw down some more of these disgusting treats. And
what's the problem with the Peep Oreos? Why are they not good? Because Peeps are good and Oreos are good.
Like a bunch of sugar that tastes really gross, like it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the middle tastes like. Normally, the frosting is the best part about the Oreos.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But no, you just got to throw them down because they're disgusting.
Did your tongue turn pink?
It turned, like, reddish. Not so much pink. I don't know if you have to eat the whole box of them, but...
Okay.
But, yeah, so...
I have to tell you, I don't need any of these special holiday Oreo flavors that they're putting out. I was excited about them back in the day, but once I saw how bad the candy corn Oreos were and how bad the candy cane Oreos were, I just said, that's it. I'm out. I'm just sticking with OG Oreos now. All right. Keep us posted on your pink poop then, Dave.
Yeah. If you like Peeps, you won't like these. So there's that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling. Right. Let's try Audrey, line four. She's in Brea up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. I think Audrey is calling because we were talking about former NFL running back Arian Foster saying that he could beat a wolf up.
Yeah,
we talked about
one.
That last half hour. Mm-hmm. And you've got a matchup you want to get evaluated here. Audrey, what's going on?
Hi, guys. So this has been a debate in my family ever since we went to New Hampshire this summer and learned about moose and bears. Who do you guys think would win in a fight between a full-grown moose and a full-grown black bear?
Oof. I might have to go moose.
I feel like I don't know enough to weigh in, but my gut tells me moose because I hear
huge.
They are huge and strong and powerful. But then again, I'm sure you have plenty in your family who point out that a black bear is a freaking bear and they have teeth and they're incredibly strong as well.
I'm on moose train.
Yeah, I'm on moose train too.
And how come? Why do you think the moose beats the bear?
Well, apparently, if you hit a moose with your car, it'll, like, smash in your car and total it. So it's pretty heavy and strong. I figure one good blow with those antlers, and the bear's out.
Interesting. I mean, I wonder if it would depend on who was able to get the best shot in first. You know?
Well, I'm like sure there's lots of factors.
Because I think, you know, a bear comes up behind a moose or something like that and is able to take a chunk out of it or bite it or knock it down or something like that. I'm sure they would have. How did this topic even come up, by the way, in your family?
Oh, it's a it's a long story, but we were hoping we would see a moose or a bear. And then, you know how those things happen that you're talking and you're like, what if they both came out?
Then what? All right. Well, keep us posted if you ever find out, Audrey. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Let's
try Ruben, Los Angeles, line five, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ruben, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. What's good, my friend? Hey, Ruben. Going once, going twice. Let's close with Diego. He's in Pomona. He's on line three. Hey, Diego. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening?
Hey, guys. I'm asking the important questions. Is it okay to make fun of Bob Miller's, like, stroke stuff? How you guys make fun of, like, Dick Clark and stuff like that?
No, it's not okay to make fun of anyone.
Despite it. Allie, I'm not talking to you.
Whoa!
Excuse me?
Thank you for calling, Diego.
Hey, Diego, F you.
I think that went well.
I liked him.
I want to say that
this was a success. What's good?
Don't put your blame on me.
Out of Britain, that's Rag and Bone Man. That is Human on the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, last week, Allie, you recall on the show, we were giving away tickets, a lot of them, to the Red Hot Chili Peppers at Staples Center.
Yes.
And we promised a grand prize drawing Monday morning in the 7 o'clock hour to send somebody to see the band in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And I'm very happy to say we are going to announce that winner right now.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Thank you. Miss Olivia Flores from Covina. Olivia Flores from Covina is on her way to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That is an amazing prize. So congratulations, Olivia. We will be contacting you to give you all the details. And of course, this week it means another destination. Destination number six of the K-Rock Wheels Up 2017 is Incubus and Jimmy Eat World. You get tickets to see the band at the Hollywood Bowl, and then you see them later in the year in August in New Orleans, Louisiana. So that sounds like a pretty fun deal, too. Keep listening for your chance to win. So, was President Trump up to anything interesting over the weekend? I didn't really pay attention to the news much.
Huh. He was deleting a lot of tweets that he had misspelled, which I always find enjoyable. But yeah, well, I think
hereby is a tough word.
Hereby is hard. TAP apparently has two P's, which
T-A-P-P,
is enjoyable.
Right?
Yeah, but I think most people were talking about how, although offering up no evidence, he said that Obama had tapped his phones.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty serious charge
to
accuse
big allegation.
Your predecessor. He had four tweets on Saturday morning. How low has President Obama gone to tap my phones during the very sacred election process?
Sacred.
This is Nixon Watergate. Bad or sick guy? Tweet number one. Terrible. I just found out that Obama had my wires tapped in Trump Tower just before the victory. Nothing found. This is McCarthyism. And the third, is it legal for a sitting president to be wiretapping a race for president prior to the election? Turned down by a court earlier, a new low. And the fourth tweet was blasting Arnold Schwarzenegger for getting his celebrity apprentice canceled.
So it's like he got sick of talking about the hugest story ever that would, you know, change everything right. To, oh, by the way, those ratings were awful.
Those ratings were so sad. So Mr. Trump had a lot on his mind. Give me the theme, if you would, ladies and gentlemen. He is just past 45 days in office as the 45th president of the United States. And Donald J. Trump is always kind enough to join us on the Kevin Abeen Show when we reach out. How are you, Mr. President?
I am furious, okay? How can a president do that, what he did to me? Believe me, he's in big, big trouble, okay? Sad, okay. Bigly trouble.
Right, but what's the evidence that President Obama tapped your phones at Trump Tower?
A lot of people are telling me that President Obama tapped the Trump Tower, okay? And he's a bad guy, sick, bad guy, hombre malo.
Okay, so your FBI director, James Comey, came out yesterday and said the FBI had nothing to do with this. We did not break the law by wiretapping an American citizen at the president's behest. He's asking the Justice Department to publicly call it false. In other words, he is demanding that they officially declare that you are misleading the public with your unsubstantiated claims. This is the FBI director who says it didn't happen.
First of all, what do they know, okay? I saw this on Breitbart, so that's what you need to know, okay?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Apparently, people are saying that the source for this might have been you saw an article on Breitbart that was summarizing a right-wing radio talk show host, Mark Levin,
Bart has all the best words, okay? Bart has all the best ideas. That's why they call him Bright, okay? Because he's very, very smart.
I don't think...
this is not the only thing that President Obama has done to me. And he's going to have to answer for all these crimes, okay?
Well, he didn't vote for you, and he did campaign for your competitor, Hillary Clinton.
He tapped my wires.
Tapped?
No, it's two-piece. Tapped my wires. he did not let go of my ego.
Okay? Oh, no.
He did not let go of it.
No.
He's using my Netflix password, which I think is a felony.
Don't think it is a felony. And I think it's unlikely that Mr. Obama is using your Netflix password.
He got chocolate in my peanut butter, okay? And he got peanut butter on my chocolate. He borrowed my copy, my VHS copy of Weird Science. He was not kind. He did not rewind.
No.
Again, it doesn't sound like something that would really happen.
And I demand that Congress does an investigation into all of Obama's crimes, okay? Also, I want to demand a congressional investigation into what Willis was talking about, okay? I have no idea what that kid was talking about. I'd like to know.
By the way, I'm with you on that. What was Willis talking about?
I also demand a congressional investigation into where's the beef. We still don't have the answer to that one. How many licks does it get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop?
Okay.
Did we ever find out that answer? What's love got to do with it? I'd like to know that.
That's a great question.
And also, what in the butt?
What in the butt?
What in the butt?
Right?
Your Justice Department's going to be very busy.
I need to know what in the butt.
Okay, I can't help you with that. I don't.
But what in the butt?
All right. Well.
Okay?
Well.
I need to know what's in the butt.
Okay. Understood. Got that.
Big league.
All right. Well. Good.
Big
good luck.
What in the butt?
Good luck with all of that, Mr. President.
What in the butt?
Great to talk to you, sir.
What in the butt?
It's the return of our old friend LaQuisha coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, reviewing this weekend's episode of Mama June from Not to Hot. By the way, Allie, I have been dipping in on that show from time to time.
No, Bean.
Still not hot.
Still?
Mama June's still not hot.
Well, I think the big reveal is when you're like, ooh, so much hotness. Thank God they didn't show it earlier.
Exactly, yeah. I don't think my heart could stand it. So anyway, we'll find out in a few episodes. But we're looking forward to talking to LaQuisha coming up. First, though, Nintendo, apparently, you guys, is back in a big, big way. And that's just one of many stories that Alana Pierce has been covering. She is a writer, host, and podcaster for IGN. She's been on the program before, and it's always fun to catch up with Alana. Welcome back. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Glad to talk to you. There's so much going on. You've been very busy lately, and I've been enjoying your videos so much. Why don't we start with this Nintendo Switch? Because I am just seeing rave reviews from people who say, I never thought I could love Nintendo again, but the people are doing it.
Yeah, this is the first Nintendo console since the Wii U, which was kind of considered a commercial failure. It didn't sell half as well as they planned, especially compared to the Wii, which was hugely popular for Wii Sports. I don't know if you guys played that, but it was amazing. Mm-hmm. So the Nintendo Switch basically allows you to have a home console that sits in a dock, plugs into your TV, but then you just slide it out. It has these two little controls on the sides, and you can take it absolutely anywhere. So it takes home gaming, lets you play a game at home, and then lets you take it on a train, the exact same game, play them anywhere in the world.
And is this the first system that has made that possible?
It is, yeah, and it's fairly successful. The battery life is an issue. It can only last like 2 to 3 hours for Zelda, which is what everyone's really excited to be playing right now. Mm-hmm. But we're really trying to see the limits of that, and people are already coming out with third-party battery packs. So there's already solutions to everything that it has that kind of lacks.
And by the way, I'm glad you brought up the Zelda, because that's what is making this seem so essential for so many people. And you've said that you think it's – did you say it was the best or one of the best video games you've ever played in your life, Lana?
Yeah, it's hard to say that when you're so fresh on something. I only finished it last week, but it is a 50-hour game, and I finished it in 4 days because I didn't want to stop playing. Very sleepless week, but it is an incredible game. There's just so much exploration, and around every single corner – you find something amazing. One corner of the map, there's an aurora borealis. Another one, there's a meteor strike. It's just incredible.
Wow, that sounds beautiful. Now, one of the things that went viral for you this week was the video that you did where you, and I know this is going to sound really weird, but you put one of the Nintendo Switch cartridges in your mouth. Now, I assume that you don't do that with all the products you review. Why did you need to taste this one?
So This would have been really funny if it was a prank, actually. One of my friends told me that the Nintendo Switch cartridges taste bad, and supposedly that was because Nintendo manufactured them so that kids wouldn't eat them, because they are very, very small. And Nintendo's previous handheld console, which is the Nintendo 3DS, apparently they had legitimately had an issue with kids swallowing game cartridges and animals as well. Obviously, they want to avoid that. So I was curious. And also drunk at 2 a.m., and decided that I would try this and get it on camera. And I assure you, it tastes awful. Apparently, they coat it in something that's called Bitrex, which is supposed to be the most bitter substance known to man.
Oh!
I feel a little bad about the amount of people who are now tweeting at me and saying that they've tried theirs immediately out of curiosity, too, but it's human nature, right? You hear something taste terrible, but it's not going to kill you, so you kind of want to try it.
I mean, it is human nature. How many times have you been at a dinner where somebody said, oh, this is so awful, you've got to try it? I mean, there is something about seeing if it's as bad as they think it is. That's
exactly
funny. How long did that taste last in your mouth?
I feel like it lasted about 5 minutes, so it's not too bad. But I think it's definitely enough to deter kids, and I feel like that actually is valuable in itself.
Yeah, that's a good tip. We're talking to a lot of peers from IGN.com on the Kevin Bean Show. All right, now we got to move into an area that I'm supremely interested in, and that is virtual reality. And you've had the occasion to try some of the products. Did you try some of the products from Naughty America? That's kind of the brand name that has really been kind of first in the porn world to get this virtual reality stuff up and running, right?
I did, yeah. I tried Naughty America VR at CES, which is a huge tech show in Las Vegas. And like, I'm really interested in VR porn as well, because I'm interested in VR. And I feel like there's kind of a trend of, if a platform succeeds, it's because porn succeeds on it. It's obviously a hugely profitable industry. So if VR porn succeeds, then VR itself and all of the other amazing things that they're making for it are more likely to succeed.
Right.
So VR porn,
I mean, a perfect example of that would be 3D, that a lot of people thought was going to be the next big thing, and they never ended up turning out to be much interested in porn, and that same thing ended up with mainstream, right?
Exactly, yeah, which is, it's such an odd thing to think about, but it's absolutely...
Wait, there's 3D porn?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I don't need that.
All right, so we need virtual reality porn, Alana?
Yeah, I was going to say, wait till I tell you about VR porn.
Okay.
It is... still in its stages of infancy. And when I tried Naughty America, you put on the headset. It's a very passive experience. You don't have a controller, so you can't control anything.
And I'm in the ER. I look at this body that's obviously not mine. And then some giant, beefy man I'm not attracted to walks into the room and just starts doing stuff. And it's like, they said that women most often react by laughing and then taking the headset off, which I think is just,
that's not good.
For women, it's like, yeah, girls don't like it at all, which I think is because you don't have any control. So it's just too passive. But that's the first issue. Second issue is a lot funnier. They have a scale problem because this is 360 video. It's not native VR, meaning it wasn't actually created for VR. It's usually created with a GoPro rig. So there's a scaling problem. If someone's on top of you, it kind of looks like they're the size of a mountain. It's all warped, huh? Like, you can believe it's a person if they're across the room, but as soon as they're actually interacting with you, it's kind of just funny. They just don't look like real people.
Now, is there a... I mean, obviously, that's a problem they're aware of. Is that the type of thing, that scale, that they think they can improve on?
Yeah, and it actually is being fixed. I haven't tried one of the beta versions, but I've seen on Reddit, people are talking about all different kinds of 360 video porn that is apparently... The scaling issue is supposed to be very, very hard to fix, and I think they fix it by using more cameras, mostly. But I did also try... Gold Club VR. Gold Club is a strip club here in San Francisco. And they basically hire a bunch of popular porn stars. I think Christy Mack is one of them, to strip on green screens and then sort of put them in an environment that looks like the club. This is actually a real game, too. You have to wait in line and get cash out of an ATM and then go inside the club. I don't know why anyone would want that.
And then get rejected at the end of the night when you slip the stripper your phone number. It's very realistic.
And they kick you out. But this one, the scaling was actually a lot better. I really wasn't sure how a lap dance would work in VR.
Yeah.
You know, it's really odd to have someone interacting with you and you not be able to feel it. That's still a very strange thing, but the scaling was significantly better on that. So they're definitely moving forward, and I'm like kind of fascinated by how creative it's getting. Like, this is actually a game. You can pay a monthly fee to be like a gold member who arrives in a limo if you want to.
Oh, this is so sad.
It's a rich fantasy.
This
life,
is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
It is a little sad. One thing they defend it. Well, okay, but they say that for disabled people, this is something that is awesome.
Or
and
me.
I think that,
disabled people or me. It's
okay,
something that would be awesome.
I can see that. I can see that.
I want to go back to one thing you said real quick, Alana, because when you're talking about how what a turnoff it was to not have any kind of control in the Naughty America VR porn. Now, that seems like a major, major misstep. Is that a technical issue? Is there a reason why you can't control the action in that world?
So it's because it's all pre-filmed. For things that are an actual game and that they've been created by someone, every single pixel, it's fine. But when it's pre-filmed, the solution that I would suggest to them is that they film a lot of things and then give you the option to press a button to say yes or no to something.
Oh, I see.
That doesn't exist yet, but I'm sure it will.
Yeah, choose your own adventure porn is what we'd be talking about.
Exactly.
That's a great idea.
I think that would be a lot more comfortable because, yeah, it was really just like a lack of consent simulator for me specifically. I was just
well, so I hope they don't go with that as the name.
It's not great. No, I don't know if they'll sell very well that way.
Alana, are there some days that you come home from your job and you go, I can't believe this is what I do for a living?
Yeah, pretty much every day at this point. Pretty common feeling.
All right. Well, there you go. There's the Nintendo Switch. There's Don't Lick or Eat the Nintendo Switch cartridge. There's your update on the virtual reality porn and the Gold Club VR as well. You can find a bunch more about this on Alana's YouTube channel or at IGN.com. It's been a while since we had you on. It's always great to catch up with you. Let's do it again soon. Thanks, Alana.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys.
You bet. Bye-bye. Drums. That's, I mean, that's pretty drummy.
Remix.
You're not wrong. Hey, once again, congratulations to Olivia Flores from Covina. She was the grand prize winner of our Destination No. 5 at the K-Rock Wheels Up 2017. She's going to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Rio de Janeiro.
Woo!
New week, new giveaway. If you want to go see Incubus along with Jimmy Eat World at the Hollywood Bowl and be qualified to see them in New Orleans, we'll give you a chance to do that coming up very soon. So keep listening to K-Rock. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Very exciting time of the year. Now that we're into March, we're just days away from the beginning of Paley Fest 2017.
Racism.
No. Paley Fest is the salute to television from the Paley Center for Media, previously known as the Museum of Television and Radio. Every year, they put together an amazing lineup of evenings with the casts and creators of some of your favorite television shows. This year is no exception. For details and tickets, you can go to paleyfest.org. That's PaleyFest.org. And see the lineup for this year. It's amazing, really. CW's Heroes and Aliens, which will feature all the casts and creators of Arrow and Flash and Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow. This Is Us. They're going to have an evening dedicated to This Is Us, wildly popular freshman
this
show.
This Is Us.
I love it so much.
Grey's Anatomy, Bob's Burgers, James Corden, The Late Late Show. Just an amazing lineup. And I know this is going to interest some people. I have got one pair of tickets. These tickets are almost impossible to get. They almost sell out immediately each and every year. They put the Paley Fest lineup up there. But I have one pair of tickets to give away for an evening with AMC's The Walking Dead.
Wow,
how about that?
That's
Walking
a hot
Dead.
Ticket.
Hot.
That's a hot ticket. Right
hot.
There.
Hot. That's what it is. So I'm going to ask a little trivia question for Walking Dead fans. If you know it and you're the first person to get through at 1-800-520-1067, you will be the winner of this lone pair of tickets to the Paley Fest 2017's Evening with The Walking Dead. It's pretty simple. If you're a Walking Dead fan, this should be a slam dunk. Just need to know, what's the name of Negan's baseball bat? Give me the name of Negan's baseball bat and call in right now, 1-800-520-1067. First person through with the right answer, boom, you're going to the Evening with The Walking Dead on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day.
Bobo.
Get good and juiced up and
Teddy Pendergrass.
Yell at him, hey, kill zombies! Being all drunk.
I don't think you get drunk before Paley Fest.
That's what I mean. You go first and then
okay.
You get drunk.
Okay.
It's going to be a good time.
Noodles from The Offspring.
Today's celebrity birthdays. No, I'm kidding. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Logan, no surprise, $85.3 million made it number one.
By the way, Dave tells me he cried at the end of that movie.
A lot of people do.
And I think it may be maybe time to revisit that on a future phone topic maybe this week. The movies that made you cry.
Get Out, second at the box office, $26.1 million. The Shack debuted to $16.1 million. That was good enough to make it number three. Then the Lego Batman movie and Before I Fall. John Wick was number six. Hidden Figures, The Great Wall, 50 Shades Darker, and La La Land were your top 10 films at the box office this weekend. Sad news over the weekend. One of the great kings of the surf guitar, the godfather of the surf guitar, Jim Fuller, has passed away. He was 69 years old. His guitar was the sound of perhaps the ultimate surf music classic, Wipeout. Remember Wipeout?
Yeah.
Sure.
Come on. That's right. Wipeout! Wipeout, you son of a bitch! Classic surf guitar of Jim Fuller passed away over the weekend. Sad news, man. So get out there and hang 10 for Jim. Don't be a Brody.
What?
I don't know.
Nope.
I don't know anything about surfing or their words.
A Barney?
Don't be a Barney.
Yeah.
Or a Hodad.
I don't think that's
don't be
one.
Don't be a Hodad, nope. And don't be Grammy.
Grommet?
No, Grammy.
I don't think these
it's
are...
It's a thing.
Okay.
You don't know. No, I'm not going to do that one.
Yep. No. Yep. No,
I just feel
Come
bad.
Come on.
No, I feel bad.
Wow.
Can we insist?
No, you can't.
Come on. A little bit.
No.
A little bit?
No.
Okay. You can't walk up to somebody and say, hey, I was going to tell you something really interesting, but I've changed my mind.
No, it's just, it's rude.
And now that you feel bad, it's got to be something really bad.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Like
so trust me. Trust me on this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I think I'm going
to. If I'm
to.
Waving myself yeah. off, perhaps yeah. I should be yeah. the barometer
I'm going to trust you on this
self-judgment
one.
Here yeah. in this particular case. This is bad, though. There's a doctor in the UK. His name is Dr. Dev Patel. No relation.
Oh.
He has proof that the Kardashian clan is contributing to the downfall of Western civilization.
Oh.
He says there has been an enormous uptick, hundreds and hundreds of percentage points, in women between 18 and 25 getting plastic surgeries. Number one plastic surgery? It's a procedure. It's not really a surgery. It's a procedure.
Is it a rhinoplasty?
It isn't.
If it's a procedure, lips.
Yes, Allie.
Yes.
Attributed to the social media success of Kylie Jenner, lip fillers is the number one asked for procedure by millennials in this day and age.
You don't think I feel bad?
I don't think you do, Kim Kardashian. Dr. Patel says he is not a fan of the Kardashians or their phony looks. He says it is deeply disturbing when Kim Kardashian cries on television and her face doesn't move from too much Botox. That bothers him.
Well, calm down, Dev. I mean, this is what you do. Stop.
What does he do?
He's a plastic surgeon.
Right, for people who need it, but not people 18 to 25, he's saying. It's unnecessary and repugnant to him. Well, he's a professional, Allie.
I don't know about that. He's a hater.
Why isn't your face moving, Allie? That's what I want to know.
I wish. Yeah. I wish.
Let's see if we have an answer for my trivia question. Alfredo! I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart! Jesus. Alfredo. From Baldwin Park. Alfredo, what's the name of Negan's baseball bat?
Lucille!
Lucille Puig, I believe is the full name.
No, that's...
I think that's Lucille.
Alfredo, congratulations. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, and we're going to give you a pair of tickets to spend the evening with the cast and creators of AMC's The Walking Dead.
Yes! Awesome!
Congratulations. That's a guy who's happy.
Super fun. It's That's a great prize, man.
It is a great prize. I'll be having tickets for Paley Fest all week long, by the way. So make sure you tune in to the Showbiz Beat.
This Is Us tickets?
This Is Us tickets. I will have those.
Let's put those aside.
Nope.
Let's not give those
giving
away.
Giving them away.
God damn it.
I'm giving away CW's Heroes and Aliens, as I mentioned, with all the Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, and Legends people. This Is Us as well.
Let's put those aside.
No, they will be given away.
Damn it.
Grey's Anatomy, An Evening with James Corden. So lots of good stuff to give away this week.
So make good.
Make sure you tune in. Today's celebrity birthdays, Rob Reiner, 70 years old today. Tom Arnold is 58. D.L. Hughley celebrates his 54th birthday. Connie Britton is 50. Shaquille O'Neal celebrates 45 years today. And Tyler, the Creator, is 26 years old today. In case you've ever missed Bean's fascinating, riveting interview. I think this is what earned you a spot in the Hall of Fame, wasn't it? This interview with Tyler, the Creator?
I'm not sure we have time for any
of this. Once they got the word on the Smithsonian, I think, has it up playing in Washington.
It didn't go well.
It is Bean and Tyler.
It was not tremendously forthcoming.
It's just a little taste of their interview.
What's your job like when you wake up in the morning?
Usually I wake up in the morning, eat some cereal. Get the computer, and
right.
I don't really come up with ideas. I just sit around and they come to me, you know.
Oh,
so that was all we had. That's the only
Interview went on. It was
I thought that was it. That was the
and
end.
Worthy,
I
think, of extending. I'm glad Bean took the long form. Here's another question.
Is there going to be much music on it as well, or just acting?
You'll see.
And I hung up, if I recall correctly.
No, it went on.
There's
more. Oh,
come on.
There's actually something people can walk into a store and buy today. Is that right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Went on and on.
Wow. Yeah, he came into KTLA.
What?
And brought a ton of balloons and maybe even a cake.
Oh,
and brought it all to the desk and kind of made no reference as to why he did that. It was amazing.
He's Tyler, the damn Creator.
Right.
That's why.
Was he delightful and effervescent in his interview on Channel 5?
I don't know if he was all those things, but it made me laugh because anytime you can make news anchors uncomfortable, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And he did that, and it was fun.
Yeah, he's real good at that.
He made radio people uncomfortable.
Yeah, too.
He did.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
This time tomorrow morning, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's going to be the Bachelor Report, like we do with Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis, breaking down 3 big hours of The Bachelor on ABC tonight. That's going to be quite a segment, trying to get all that covered. And then director Danny Boyle is going to be in studio. He has made his first ever sequel, and it is to Trainspotting. There's a new Trainspotting movie opening up soon. So Danny will be in here talking about that. Jeff Probst later in the week, Jim Rome, Dr. Drew, and the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices as well. All right, last week we brought LaQuisha back for the first time in a long time. A lot of great reaction from the listeners. Al, did you see how happy people were to have LaQuisha back?
People miss LaQuisha.
People miss her, and I did too, and I'm delighted to say that she is on the phone again. Hey, LaQuisha, how are you?
I am not as well as I used to be.
Well, what do you mean by that?
I watched Honey Boo Boo's Mama again.
Well, that is kind of your assignment right now for the Kevin and Bean Show, is recapping.
I know what my assignment is. I'm not saying I didn't do it. I'm just saying I didn't enjoy it so much.
But you love stupid white people, and we thought this would be the show that would have the most stupid white people on it.
I also enjoy fudge. But I don't eat a 5-pound box of it.
Oh, I see. Too much.
There's a lot of stupid white people on this show, but maybe too much stupid white people.
All right, so for the folks who weren't with us last week and have no idea what the new show is, we're talking about Mama June from the old Honey Boo Boo show, right?
That's right. She is upset because her boyfriend, Sugar Bear, is getting married to another woman, and she's decided that's going to spark a change in her life. She is going to lose weight and become a new woman. She's going to transform herself into a sexy, sexy woman that will make Sugar Bear jealous when she goes to his wedding.
Well, from all I remember about Mama June, she seems like the type of person who would be willing to put in the hard work. She seems disciplined. She seems focused. I don't see any reason why she can't accomplish that.
No, she's none of those things. What she is someone take the easy way out, like surgery. She's having her stomach basically removed, just turned into a little sleeve, and the whole family is upset about it as she goes into the operating room, especially her children.
Yeah, but I'm still a little nervous.
He's not going to let you die. You could possibly bleed out, but, you know, he'll be all right.
Yeah, that's comforting words coming from the daughters. You could bleed out, but probably not.
Yeah, that's good advice. That's something you want to say to your mom right before they put her under.
When she rolls out of the operation, she's still under the effects of anesthesia. And once again, her two daughters came to her bedside and gave her words of solace and comfort.
Hey, Mama. Well, since you're out of it, maybe it's a good time to ask you for a new car.
Can I get a new iPad?
Mama.
No.
No, it did not work. Them trying to mentally abused their mother while she was under drugs.
This is quite a show.
It's the best show ever. If you like awful people. And I'm glad to report that Mama June did recover from the surgery, although it wasn't easy. When your stomach is reduced to that size, even drinking water can be difficult, and there's a lot of heartburn, apparently. And the girls were very concerned about that in the recovery room.
Do you still have the heartburn?
A little bit. Like, I've been, like, burping a lot. Oh, my God. It smells like sulfur.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
You can almost smell this show, LaQuisha.
Her belches smell like sulfur.
Oh, LaQuisha.
You know, like hell. It smells like hell's supposed to smell.
Right.
From her body comes the hell smell.
Now, this isn't one of those surgeries. Forgive me, LaQuisha, for not knowing the difference. But this isn't one of those surgeries where they go in and you automatically are like 100 pounds lighter. They're not taking out like a big tumor or anything. This is just making the stomach.
What the hell?
Are you talking about?
No, because
one of those surgeries where they take a 100-pound tumor out of you?
Yes,
all the
time? I'm saying that sometimes you come out of the surgery and you're much, much lighter than you were when you went in.
When does that happen when you go to do that surgery?
How many
surgeries do you go in and you come out 100 pounds lighter after the surgery? What kind of surgery is that, and how often does that happen?
When they take a giant growth or something out of your body.
You think this woman was over 400 pounds because she had a giant growth? That was what you're asking me about the show.
Okay,
this about her getting a growth removed?
Maybe in this case, that's not what happened.
In no case, other than cases of tumors.
One in a million cases that's happened. Why is this even a question that you are asking anyone ever?
But what I'm saying is she's the same weight coming out. It's just that now her stomach is smaller, so now she's going to eat less, so she's going to lose weight. That's where we're at, right?
Everybody understood that. Everyone. Except for you. You're the only one who didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
Okay, back to you, LaQuisha.
Why don't you shut the hell up, B?
I will. I'll do that, actually.
So she has to do a new diet, and the whole family got to be on a diet because she's changing her lifestyle. And Honey Boo Boo said she's not going to get on that bandwagon.
I'm not jumping on any bandwagon unless it has, like, cheeseburgers and stuff, so.
Right, unless it's a cheeseburger bandwagon, she's not getting on it.
And Honey Boo Boo is, like, 11, and to me it looks like she must weigh close to 200 pounds.
She is a large girl.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama is motivated strictly by revenge for her boyfriend. She said when she loses that weight, this is going to be his reaction.
Sugar Bear's going to be like, damn, I want to hit that with my sausage. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
She's going to be like, I want to hit that with my sausage.
Oh, God.
That's what everybody said. Oh, God. Even her own sister, Dodo, said, oh, God. And Dodo, by the way, should get her own reality show called When They Gonna Fix Dodo's Janky Gray Teeth.
Oh, no.
She got she's got a mouthful of jagged, busted up gray teeth that look like you could talk about sofa smell. That must be something else coming out of that mouth.
That's sad.
Well, her sister hooks her up on a dating site called Redneck and Single.
Nope.
Yep. And then she got to go on a date with a fellow redneck, and her daughter Pumpkin is willing to drive her to the date.
Now, that I have my license, I don't mind dropping you off to your little date or whatever, but please do not think I am your personal chauffeur.
Right. She is not her chauffeur.
Good Lord.
Under no circumstances is she to be mistaken for a chauffeur.
This show is not making the state of Georgia look good.
Oh, you ain't. You see nothing. You ain't seen nothing yet. Because she goes on this date, she goes to a NASCAR-themed bar/go-kart park. You heard me. It's a bar and a go-kart park, and it's NASCAR-themed. And they go there, and her date wants her to take a drive. Oh, wouldn't it be funny if we both drove in a go-kart, a two-person go-kart, and you drove? But June has a little secret that her first date isn't aware of.
I shouldn't really drive because I am totally blind in this eye, legally blind in this eye. I was born that way. I had cataracts when I was born.
Ha! The joke's on him, because she's blind.
Hold on a sec. He's climbing into a go-kart with a woman who is legally blind?
But she doesn't tell him that she's legally blind.
Shenanigans.
See, this is comedy. This is funny. What's funnier than being blind and not telling people and then driving a car? Because the crazy things happen and she hits walls and other people.
Oh, no.
And, I laugh. I thought I'd cry. And then at the end is the big comedy reveal.
It wasn't that bad.
God, you need to have your license revoked.
I don't even have a license. I'm legally blind.
Ha!
Oh, God.
You've just been June'd.
Joke's on him.
Well, at least when I thought this show couldn't be more white and awful, then it finally got as racist as possible by introducing a new character to the show. This is Mama June's new physical workout trainer.
And we gon' rock and we gon' roll, baby. I'm about to take you to a new level, baby. I mean, a new level.
Oh, thank God there's a stereotypical black person we can all point and laugh at now on the show.
Oh, no.
Please meet Kenya. Kenya is the new physical trainer that's gonna whip Mama June into shape. And he sure is a stereotype.
My name is Kenya Crooks, the world's greatest weight loss expert. I'm kind of like the guy who makes everybody finer and sexier.
I'm glad they got a black clown finally on this show to make it perfect. Now this show is perfect. His name is Kenya Crooks. Who came up with that name? Jeff Sessions? Who came up with that name? Kenya Crooks.
So
black, gotta be a crook, right? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think anyone would say that. Could just be an unfortunate last name.
Maybe he's gonna have an operation to take a big tumor out of him later in the episode.
Well, you don't know, man. That's just possible.
I do know. Okay, I do know. Not gonna happen.
Is this what we have to look forward to next week? Is Mama June's gonna get on some sort of an exercise regimen?
Yeah, he's gonna put her through her paces. Kenya Crooks is gonna do something to her. I don't know. She's blind. I don't know.
LaQuisha, you are a great American for sitting through this show, so we don't have to. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for coming on.
All right.
I feel like a lot of people on this show are getting pretty good at coming up with excuses as to why they can't come in.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are more convincing than others.
Okay.
Allie, you came across a story the other day that you wanted to share with the Kevin and Bean listeners about somebody who, what was she trying to do? She's trying to get out of a test or something?
She was submitting something for a class and it was going to be late. So she wanted to let her professor know why. And this is a 19-year-old student at The Ohio State. She sent an email that said, "Dear Professor Steigerwald, I'm so sorry for how late I'm submitting the synopsis. My boyfriend unexpectedly broke up with me yesterday evening, and I was a complete unfocused mess who did not account for such a time-consuming hiccup to affect my Sunday productivity." Right. "This will obviously not happen again, as I am no longer in a relationship and will have no one to break up with me next Sunday. Also, I'm very sorry that this is kind of uncomfortable. It is for me, too. Best, Rachel Harriman." And her professor wrote back and said, "Well, life happens. Seems like a good time to go to Europe." What?
Wait, hold on a sec. First of all, why is she going to Europe?
I don't know. I think he's just telling her to. Go find yourself after this awful breakup.
Now,
Come on.
It's been a while since I went to college. Mm-hmm. And I did drop out, so maybe I'm not the best person to be speaking about how college goes. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember my professors giving any F's as to what else was going on in my life.
No, you got the work done. You handed it in, game over.
Yeah. It was, I mean, maybe, you know, your parent dies or something like that. Maybe you get a pass for a couple of days or something like that, or you're in a car accident maybe. But I'm sorry, just, "Hey, I'm super stressed, bro," isn't going to work, right?
It's that's whole participation trophy kind of way that people seem to be living their lives now.
And look, there's no question. You'd be hard-pressed to find someone who ever went to college that didn't have a bad day, or maybe even more specifically, didn't have a breakup at some point that they were sad about,
sure,
or have something not go their way. But that doesn't mean you're now ineligible to participate in your class, I would think.
Yeah, you would think.
How did this work for her? How did Rachel get away with this, I wonder? "My boyfriend unexpectedly broke up with me yesterday evening, and I was a complete unfocused mess," is what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, maybe waiting till Sunday night to even try to do your work may have been part of the problem as well.
You think? Yeah.
She could have had that synopsis done before he broke up with her on Sunday.
I think Rachel's probably hot.
I hope so. So we started thinking about it might be fun to take some phone calls on the lamest excuses you have either used or you have heard, you've been on the receiving end of, at 1-800-520-1067. And the lamest excuses people have used to get out of something. Get out of coming to work. Get out of coming to school. Get out of going to your wedding. Get out of taking your mom to the doctor. Whatever it is that you didn't want to do, what's the lame-o excuse that you came up with or that somebody came up with and told you about? We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. There is a Facebook feed with excuses, funny, bizarre, and ingenious excuses that people have used to skip school. And I think a couple of these are worth mentioning, for instance. "My friend and I had skipped a half day off school. She came up with the lie that we had to help an old woman who collapsed in the street on the way to school. The lie was so elaborate that my friend put the emergency services number in her telephone call history to show the teachers. The teachers all believed us, and we were deemed heroes."
Oh.
Now, how did that feel, walking around being heralded as
a hero?
That's bad karma
right there. Oof.
I would think you are going to get hit by a car on your way home from school that day. "I heard my sister say this once to my mom, so I decided to use it as well. I started my period, and I'm cramping real bad. I was an 11-year-old boy at the time that I used it."
Oh, no.
So maybe it didn't work very well for him. "A few weeks after I got my ears pierced, I was 15 years old. I told my PE teacher that I couldn't join in because my earrings were too heavy. Amazingly, I was let off." So that's a deal where you can't run and be in PE because your earrings are too big and too heavy, right?
Oh, well, and you usually get your ears pierced with a stud that's small.
That's what I thought.
So that's an odd thing.
Yeah, I was wondering how that was going to work. Here's another one. "Once I, and again, we're looking for your excuses. You either used them or got them. 1-800-520-1067. "Once when I really did not want to go to school, I woke up early in the morning. I got my hands dirty with the sole of my shoe and rubbed my eyes with them.
Oh.
My right eye turned red, so I told my dad that I had pink eye and it was contagious. Therefore, I couldn't go to school." Pretty genius, right?
Right.
"Unfortunately, it turned out that I actually caused myself to have pink eye, and I had to stay home for the next 2 days."
Idiot.
He gave himself pink eye.
Oh.
All right, one more, and then we'll go to your calls. "When I was in middle school, I was supposed to be singing in a talent show, which was not going to happen on my watch. So the night before, I faked stomach pain so believable that my parents decided to take me to the ER because I was apparently showing signs of appendicitis. They gave me a CAT scan, and it turned out I had an ovarian cyst on the side where my pain was.
Oh.
I ended up missing a lot more than one day of school because they had to perform surgery to remove it. To this day, nobody knows that I faked the stomach pains and that finding that cyst was a miracle. So apparently it pays to lie to your parents.
I don't think that's the takeaway.
I
think
like
in that situation, very rare.
Fascinating. All right. 1-800-520-1067. What are the lame excuses you have heard or used? Let's do Betty. Is Betty ready? Yeah, she's on line one. No city given. I'm sorry. But Betty, you're up first on the Kevin DeBean Show. What's the excuse? What side of the excuse were you on?
Good morning. I was the boss.
You're the boss. All right. You got a call from an employee who said what?
He said that the reason he was late was because his car was part of a crime scene.
Oh, no.
Well, it was, yeah. The restaurant he had been at the night before, there was a shooting. His car was part of the crime scene. His phone was in the car, so he couldn't call me.
That sounds pretty believable, by the way. Did it unravel at some point?
Oh, yeah. He called an Uber to get home from the restaurant. He paid for dinner, but he couldn't take a cab or call an Uber in the morning to get to work on time.
So did his story end up not being true?
Well, I refused to call the detective to prove him.
No. Did he give you the number?
He tried. Oh. This was his third strike. He was very creative in his excuses.
So yeah. If it had been from a model employee, you might have thought, oh, that's just bad luck on you. But because it was coming from this guy, you were automatically suspicious.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. All right, Betty, thank you for the call. Gonna make a note to not go work for Betty, I think. Let's try Diamond LaPuente, please, line four, up next on the Kevin DeBean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Talking lame-o excuses. Diamond, what happened?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I was pregnant with my first child, and my best friend at the time said she couldn't make it to my baby shower because she had a dentist appointment on a Sunday.
Well,
it's her best friend, her first baby.
Yeah, that dentist appointment seems unlikely unless it was some sort of, you know, emergency root canal or something like that, right?
Yeah, you would think, but no, it was just a regular checkup for a dentist appointment on a Sunday.
That's weird. So what did you do? How did you handle it?
Well, when she told us, and the thing is I actually had my other best friend from Oregon. He actually came and was there for my baby shower. And then when I told him, okay, she's not coming, he's like, the dentist isn't even open on Sunday. I'm like, I know. So we just happened to check Facebook, and I guess she wasn't too bright at the time because she also checked in at the mall.
Well, see, there you go.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
We all learned a valuable lesson today, didn't we? All right, Diamond, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Your story is next on K-Rock. Minutes away from your tickets to see Incubus and Jimmy Eat World playing the Hollywood Bowl and be qualified to see the band in both bands in New Orleans as well. That's on the way here on K-Rock. First, though, talking about this Ohio State University college student. Her name is Rachel. She was late on turning in an assignment, and she wrote a note to her professor saying that she apologized, but her boyfriend had unexpectedly broken up with her and that she was a complete unfocused mess, and that's why she missed the deadline. That doesn't seem like a excuse that ought to work.
Not so legit, no.
But that did get us on the topic of lame excuses you've either used or heard, and we're hearing from a bunch of people. We're going to go right back to your phone calls in a second. Susie writes in on the Kevin DeBean Twitter account, worst excuse I've heard by an employee, I can't come into work because of a huge pimple on my face. Well, you don't want to walk around with that, right?
No.
Alfredo writes in, diabetic coworker called in sick saying she ate too much chocolate and couldn't wake up in time. It seems like it may be on her.
That sounds concerning.
Writing in, that does sound like a bad strategy if you're diabetic. Writing in on the Kevin DeBean Facebook page, Carrie writes in, I worked in an office for a long time ago, and one of the salespeople called in saying that she was in the mountains that day because she got tired of the smog. Okay. All right.
Okay.
1-800-520-1067. Why don't we try, let's try Lindsay Encino, line three, up first in this segment here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Lindsay, thank you for calling. What happened?
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call.
You bet.
So I was working a day job in the West Side, and I got a call back kind of suddenly for an audition. I found an accident that was up in the valley off of like the 101. And I told them that that was my friend that had stalled out and needed like special emergency assistance. And I needed to go like help her like get home and stuff. So I like left work, and like for a few hours and came back. And then like, apparently I wasn't that good of a liar at the time, because when I left the day job after I had gotten the audition, my boss asked me how that friend was. So he totally caught me.
Oh, no.
But I like that you did the research and found a Google accident that you could use to prove your story. That's very clever.
I tried to find one far away enough that it made the like amount of time, like it made sense for the amount of time that I would have been gone for.
Exactly. Right. All right. Well, nice try anyway. Thanks for calling. Appreciate that. Let's go to David, also in Encino, line 4. I wonder if David knows Lindsay. Hey, David, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hi, Kevin and Bean.
Hey, what's up?
So a little similar to Lindsay, also in Encino. So I don't know if you remember, there was a school shooting in Woodland Hills years and years ago. Okay, so to start off, I was already an hour late, so my wife at the time called my neighbor across the street. He came over to wake me up. I was already an hour late. I'm all, what do I do? He told me about the school shooting. So,
hey, David, hang on one sec. Just hang on one second. Let's go to Steven. He's in Garden Grove. He's up next. He's on line 6 of the Kevin Show. That story wasn't going anywhere. Look, God bless him. I'm sure he's a nice guy. The story's not going anywhere.
Okay.
Steven, what's up?
So I was the manager of a restaurant, and there was a big party on a Saturday that I knew about because everybody had requested this time off, and I couldn't give it to anybody. Well, one guy who couldn't get the day off on Friday comes up to me crying, red eyes, almost believable, except for he told me that he had to have Saturday off to baptize his sister's child. Well, the problem is baptisms happen on Sundays.
Is that true? Are all baptisms on Sunday?
It's a Sunday thing. And so I told him, hey, man, like, baptisms are on Sundays. And he, like, stopped crying, like, sobered up, like, oh. Continued to work and didn't make eye contact with me for the next month.
That's fantastic.
He's going to hell.
You busted him with your baptism knowledge. See, that would have worked for me because I had no idea that they had to be done on a certain day of the week. Oh, well done,
I was never
boss.
Happier to be Catholic.
No kidding. That's awesome. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Tim. He's in L.A., line 8. Now, Tim is a professor. So I imagine, I don't know how long you've been teaching, Tim, but I imagine you hear a lot of excuses that you have to decide whether you're going to believe them or not, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't believe how tragic midterm season can be for people's grandmothers.
Oh, no.
All right, what happened? What is in your mind?
So I give oral final exams in some of my classes, and they have a specific time they have to show up. And I had a student who, let's say all semester she had entitlement problems. Anyway, she didn't show up. She shows up halfway into the next student's exam, and I'm like, well, what happened? Why aren't you here? Weren't you here? And her excuse was, my Uber driver took the wrong route.
Well, she found someone else to blame it on.
Yeah. So, not good enough.
That doesn't work. That didn't fly with Professor Tim, I guess.
No, that's not going to – not with me.
All right, man.
I went to Ohio State.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Let's go to line 1. Let's squeeze in a couple more. This is going to be Marty. He's in Brea, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Marty, you sound like the kind of guy who was making the lame excuse. Am I right?
Pretty much. Yeah, man. Actually, I had CIP tickets for the Long Beach Grand Prix. Went for the weekend. Got so hammered that I actually blew through my ATM account, forgetting I had bills to pay on top of that. Called in sick Monday morning and told my boss that I had sun poisoning.
And did you have sun poisoning, or did you just make it up?
I just made it up, actually. On top of that, after all blowing all my cash out of my ATM, I had to scrounge about $40 to go to a tanning salon so that I could play the part when I got back to work on Tuesday.
No.
Of course.
You went to a tanning salon to get burned so you could look burned on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
Marty. Marty.
That is a real commitment to the bit. You got to give Marty some credit. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's do one more. Let's go to Costa Mesa. Let's make it Stephanie. She's up next, line 5. Stephanie, we're going to give you the final word on this. What happened?
Hey, what's up, party people?
Good morning.
So my sister
had to leave my baby shower early because she had to go to Kevin and Bean Day at Santa Anita.
Oh, no.
That sounds completely legitimate to me.
No. I totally agree. I told her I'd rather be there, too.
Well done.
I mean, right?
Right?
Right? I mean.
No, no, you don't get to say right. No. Allie and I are saying right.
We're
I'm
saying
with
right.
you, though. No, no, but I'm with you.
No, you're not with us.
I am on board
you're
with
you. You're the opposite. You're
I agree
board.
With you. 100%.
You're in the water. And you're saying, oh! He's man overboard. Flailing. We're like, oh, we're all out of those lifesaver foam
K-Rock
thingies.
Wheels Up 2017, destination number six is Incubus and Jimmy World. And we're going to tell you how to win it in 5 minutes or so from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First giveaway for the new week.
Woo!
The Wheels Up 2017. So first, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's new? What's going on? What's happening?
Because it's Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Logan debuted to a shattering $85.3 million, making it the largest debut for an R-rated film in the history of March.
That's quite a category.
Yeah. Right?
It's yeah.
It's its own little sliver of the pie, but still impressive nonetheless.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I insist.
Oh, all right.
No, you.
It's not worth it. Go.
Well, no, I'm not going to say mine.
Get now. Out came in at number two with $26.1 million. The Shack debuted with $16.1 million. Then Lego Batman and Before I Fall were the top five movies over the weekend. John Wick Chapter 2 came in at number six. Hidden Figures, The Great Wall, 50 Shades Darker, and La La Land came in at number 10. If you are like a lot of people who are not Allie and you liked La La Land...
I was fine.
They are doing a La La Land in concert.
Oh, kill me.
Come on, Allie.
Good Lord, no.
People like the music.
Who's singing it?
Of La La Land in concert.
Is someone else singing it?
I don't know. I left the details on the printer in the other room. I just realized. But they're doing a live event, I believe, at the Hollywood Bowl.
Okay.
And it's La La Land in concert. And it's the guy who wrote all the music will be conducting the orchestra, I believe. And they'll be performing for everyone. And that is all happening very soon. Oh, it's going to be one of those live-to-film celebrations.
Oh, those are always cool.
So there'll be the composer of the film's music, Justin Hurwitz, will be conducting his score with the 100-piece orchestra, jazz ensemble, fireworks, the whole nine yards.
That sounds like a delightful evening.
And they will do it to live to the film. So you get to see it. This is happening the weekend of Memorial Day, Friday, the 26th of May and the 27th of May, Memorial Day weekend. All this happening at the Hollywood Bowl. Tickets go on sale March 10th, Friday, March 10th. So this Friday at noon, you can get tickets for the La La Land in concert live to film celebration if you are a fan of that film, unlike Allie and other mean people. People who are mean do not like that
movie. People who love, too, by the way.
People who love like that film and would like to see this event. So
wouldn't it be awesome if everybody shows up at the Hollywood Bowl, and instead it's a live recreation of Moonlight on stage?
I don't.
Because that's not as fun an evening.
I don't think.
For people.
That would be fun.
Because it won the I'll Show Myself Out.
Oh. Twere it so. Twere it so. Notorious B.I.G. Al, you know him.
Love. Loved.
How would you like to own his death car?
I don't need that.
Come on.
Nope.
How fun, right?
The one he was shot in outside of the Peterson?
Yeah.
I don't need that.
Yeah. The green 1997 GMC Suburban has 114,000 miles on it.
Okay.
Still runs.
All right.
You can own the car that Biggie was shot in.
Uh-huh.
They're expecting it. It's going on an auction in Moments in Time auction this week. They're expecting it to go for, what do you think? What are you guessing what they think they're going to pull in for this car?
$1.5
million.
Oh, my God.
Holy moly.
That's what they're guessing it'll go for.
I made the change from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach.
He had it, man. He really had it.
The woman who bought the SUV previous, the one who's putting it up for sale, she bought it at a public auction. And she didn't know it was that car. She paid $10,000 for it.
Oh, my God.
And now it looks like she's going to get quite the return on her investment. Here's the only sad part of the story. You don't get the passenger door with all the bullet holes.
That's been removed?
The police are keeping that until the murder case is solved. So the door has been replaced with a new one. But where's the fun in that?
Right.
You want the bullet hole one, right?
Right.
If you're going to have a death car, you want some bullet holes. That's all I'm saying. Right?
I don't love this story. Who's with me? No. Because there's got to be parts of that with the...
Use your words, Allie.
I'm sure they cleaned it, Allie. I'm sure it went through the car wash or something before they sold it. One of those self-car washes. They probably vacuumed it. I'm just saying. Got some loose change.
No.
Some wrappers.
No,
not wrappers. like burger wrappers or stuff you find under your seat.
What are the chances other wrappers are still in the car, Ralph?
Stuff you find under your seat.
I hate
you know, candy wrappers, hamburger wrappers, that thing. Don't cry, Allie. It's okay.
Muggs weighs in, if he's to be believed.
Oh, Muggs has weighed in. Good.
That there is, in fact, still at least one bullet hole in the seatbelt. So you do get some evidence of the shooting, I guess, even if the car door has been removed. At least the seatbelt still has a hole in it.
Thanks, Bean. Thanks for adding that. Well, thank you for being the conduit through which Muggs reaches the world.
In case somebody was going to buy it, but only wants to buy it if there's bullet holes, now they know.
I can't see him putting on a seatbelt. I just feel like he is a dude that doesn't use seatbelts.
Yeah. That was probably a miss.
Right?
Hit the seatbelt next to him or behind him or something. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So at least we have that added fact to enrich the story.
Now
so much better now. Next time you start off a sentence by saying, beer mug is telling me, why don't you reevaluate your situation at that moment?
Noted.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Rob Reiner is 70 years old today.
Remember we had him in a couple of months ago?
What a delightful
interview.
He and his son, and they were charming gentlemen, and Rob is terrific. And I get the sense, I follow him on Twitter, I get the sense he kind of likes Trump. He's kind of a Trump supporter.
I'm not reading it that way.
A little love there, a little bromance going on.
I would say opposite.
I feel like he's made up his mind in the opposite direction.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on this one, because I think I'm sensing there's a little love connection. Tom Arnold's 58 years old today. D.L. Hughley is 54. Connie Britton is 50 years old today. Shaquille O'Neal. He used to play basketball, didn't he?
He sure did.
Yeah, he's 45 years old. And Tyler, the Creator, is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Hey, listen to K-Rock all week, every hour, on the hour, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. for your chance to win Incubus and Jimmy Eat World tickets for the Hollywood Bowl. Wait a minute. 9 a.m.? That's now, right? So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you'd like to play a game, you're a big fan of this time the band Incubus, then you can call us right now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll give you those local tickets, and you'll be qualified to see them in New Orleans as well. Play the game next, right after this on K-Rock. Earlier this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we did the grand prize drawing for K-Rock Wheels Up 2017 Destination Number 5. That was a chance to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Olivia Flores from Covina was our grand prize winner, so congratulations, Olivia. Now it's on to another week and another great giveaway. This time it's Incubus and Jimmy Eat World, two longtime favorite bands here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and they are going to be touring together this summer. You get to see them at the Hollywood Bowl and be eligible to see them for our grand prize drawing in New Orleans. That's in Louisiana, don't you know, you guys?
I heard that, yeah.
We asked for Incubus callers. We've got them on the line. This game is called Just a Second.
Just a second!
Just to let it sink in, let me hear that theme one more time, could we?
Just a second!
All right, that's how the game is played. We're going to play 1 second of an Incubus song. It's almost always the first second of the song. So you're one of those Incubus fans. When the song begins on K-Rock, you know what it is immediately because you're such a big Incubus fan. And we're taking your calls, 1-800-520-1067. We'll just do them in order here, Chip, and we'll start with David in Santa Monica. He's up first on line one. Hey, David. How you doing, man?
How you doing?
You love the Incubus, do you?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, this game is for you. We're going to play the first second of a song. We're going to only be able to play it for you twice. So listen closely, then tell us what song it is. If you're right, you go into the drawing to win the prize. Good luck. Here we go.
All right. Oh, wish you were here.
I'm sorry. No, this time it was Megalomaniac.
Oh.
Nice try, though, David. Thank you so much for calling. We go to Camarillo now. Jerry's up next. He's on line two. Hey, Jerry. How you doing, man?
Good. Yourself?
Doing great. You know how the game is played. We can only play it for you twice. Listen up. Again?
Drive?
Yes, it is Drive. All right. Well done. So Jerry is in the drawing. Up next is going to be Alfredo. He's Simi Valley. Alfredo, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Now, you're not the same Alfredo that we had on for a completely different reason an hour ago, are you?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Wow. Really angry.
This Alfredo is trying to distance himself from that bogus Alfredo from last hour. All right. What Incubus song is this? We're playing Just a Second. Listen up. Again?
That is Wish You Were Here.
It sure the hell is. See, that's the good Alfredo, Allie.
It is the good Alfredo. I think, actually, the last Alfredo won the Paley ticket, so he was a good Alfredo, too.
Wow.
Yeah, Diego's the bad Diego.
He's the bad Diego. Okay, got it. Try to keep all of our callers straight. All right, let's go to North Hollywood. Let's say hi to Carol. Hey, Carol, what's going on?
My friend. Hey. Carol.
Shut up, Allie. Carol, it says here that you are a brand ambassador. Is it okay if I ask what brand do you work for?
I work for Variety. I do freelance.
Oh, no kidding. And are you good at it?
I'm great at it.
Well, you managed to get Variety on K-Rock this morning, so I guess you're doing a pretty good job. All right, listen up for your Incubus song. We're playing Just a Second. What song is this, please? Ooh, I like it.
Is that Anomaly?
I'm sorry. No, that's Nice to Know You. Nice try. You can't be good at everything, Carol. Thank you for the call, though. Appreciate that. Let's go to Pasadena Line 5 up next. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Hey, B.
All right, listen up. We're playing Just a Second.
Just a Second!
Here's your Incubus song. One more time.
Pardon Me.
It is Pardon Me. Well done, sir. You are in the drawing to win the prize. Let's go to Huntington Beach, Line 6. This is going to be our old friend Jody up next. Hey, Jody, you ready to play?
Hey there. I sure am.
All right, listen up. Here's your song. One more time.
Oh, God, this is killing me. I'm drawing a blank.
Take a guess Stellar. If you don't know, Jody. Yes, it Whoa. Is Stellar. It is Stellar. Wow, you just pulled that out of your butt. Well done. All right, let's do one more. Let's make it Adam in Corona. How about that, by the way? All right, Adam, you ready to play the game?
I'm ready.
Here we go. A lot of Incubus fans on the line today. Very good competitors. Let's see if we can get you in the drawing. Listen up. Again, please.
Oh. It's Wish You Were Here, but it's not. I don't know.
You're correct. It is not Wish You Were Here. It is Are You In is what we're looking for. Yes, you're telling us that's the one? Yes, you're a little late on that, but yes, that is the one. Thank you, though. All right, Jody, Robert, Alfredo, and Jerry are all good Incubus fans. They were able to pick their song in just 1 second. One of them is going to win some tickets to the Hollywood Bowl and be qualified to see the both bands, Jimmy Eat World, along with Incubus, playing New Orleans in August. Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Jerry.
Yay!
Jerry, way to be.
Oh, my gosh, you're exciting. Yeah.
It is very exciting. Thank you for listening. Thank you for playing. Just a Second.
Just a Second!
Nirvana on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Ralph Garman is here for a final look at the Showbiz Beat for a Monday. What's going on?
Tale as old as time, true as it can be, barely even friends, then somebody bends.
That's that game.
Unexpectedly.
You're talking Beauty and the Beast, it sounds like.
I am talking Beauty and the Beast, and I'm talking about passes to K-Rock's exclusive IMAX 3D advance screening.
Yay!
It's a lot going on in that screening.
Wow.
It's advanced.
Uh-huh.
It's exclusive.
Sure.
Right.
It's IMAX.
Go on.
And it's 3D.
I mean, it's one of the most anticipated films of the year, and it sounds like you're seeing it in the best possible situation.
That was a success.
It was a success. The best situation.
Was a success.
Situation. Let me tell you where you're going to go see it. Not some rinky-dink little theater someplace.
No.
Suckas. You're going to the IMAX headquarters.
Oh, wow.
If you're IMAX, where do you think you would put your very best presentation on? At your headquarters, wouldn't
sure.
you? Right.
I would think so, yeah. You want to show it off? Yeah.
Yeah. So you get to go. Five winners will get a pair of passes to K-Rock's exclusive IMAX 3D advanced screening of Beauty and the Beast, March 15th at the IMAX headquarters. It's in theaters everywhere on the 17th. But you'll get to see Emma Watson and Dan Stevens and Luke Stevens and Luke Evans and...
You just naming people?
Stevens and Luke's. Stephen Luke will be there. Luke Stevens. Dan Stevens. Luke Dan. Dan Luke's.
All of the same.
Josh Gad?
Josh Gad okay. also. Okay. We love Josh Gad.
All right.
He will be...
You're insane.
Where's that wolf? Where's Arian
oh,
Foster?
No.
Right?
So give us a call now. 1-800-520... What?
1-800-520...
I got that much.
1067.
1067, yeah.
Right.
Call now. We'll get right back to you.
This movie looks so great, not even Josh
awesome.
Gad could ruin it.
Josh
is
going to make be it better, first of all. And I love him, and I cannot wait to see this film.
Same.
Very, very exciting. I'm actually deeply disappointed, more so than my daughter is, because we were going to go to a screening on the 11th, on a Saturday. They're going to have a screening, press screening, and they invited people and their families to come down. And I said, yes, we'll be there. And then it's a big, she's got a big Girl Scout cookie sale day that day. She's got to do her shift.
Right?
So
got to pimp those cookies.
So we can't go. So I'm bummed. But maybe I'll go to this thing. Maybe I'll go to the IMAX theater and see it on the IMAX big screen in the headquarters.
Those of us that put down our order when your daughter came in a month ago.
We're waiting on your s'mores. They're busy baking more s'mores because they underestimated the popularity of the
really?
New s'mores
really?
Flavor.
So they're
so
still coming.
They're backlogged. They're backordered. And we're trying to wait until your entire order is completed before we ship it off to you, you pain in the ass.
I got mine, so I'm cool.
My cookies are so good.
So good, hey, right?
I just thought I'd ask. It just feels like it's been some time now.
All right.
I could what go you, for how... Samoa. Get out.
That's the name of one of the cookies, you see, the Samoa.
Not my favorite, but I'll allow it.
You're not going to be hurt without cookies for a little while. You can wait for cookies.
Okay. All
just
right.
Saying. Just keep it's not doing any damage.
Keep me posted.
We didn't forget about you. You're on the
all
list.
Right. So I want to make sure I'm getting my money's worth. That's all.
God's sakes. We'll send your money back. We'll give you your money back.
I don't want my money back. I want my Girl Scout cookies from Olivia.
It's not worth it. It's not worth
whatever, my cookies.
Whatever hassle interest we have to pay to deal with you is not nearly worth the purchase.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Robert De Niro finally
holy crap.
Has encapsulated everything we've been feeling all this time.
I'd just like to see them delivered the same calendar year as the order. That's
see?
All.
This is the BS you have to deal with when you try to do something that involves Bean.
Right.
There's a penalty you have to pay. There's a tax
right.
that comes along with it yeah. anytime you interact with him.
Asshole.
So wait.
Right.
Hold
you,
on a
lady.
Second here. So I'm the bad guy because you brought your daughter in and I agreed to buy 4 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. Now all of a sudden I'm the bad guy.
No, you're the bad guy. I'm saying, I'd like them delivered in the same calendar year that I ordered them
well,
when it's
else
March
is
of 2016.
Our...
So would you kiss my ass?
Allie's cookies are already on her hips, though, and I still haven't even gotten mine yet.
I
come
swear
on.
To God.
Is there no end to your
I
dickishness?
Mean, no. No.
I think you need a hug.
I'm fine.
You're the worst.
Did we? Was there a delivery date? Was there a contract signed? Is there something? Is there some paperwork you could present to
he
Judge
wants
Wapner?
To eat his feelings because his wife hates him. I get it.
Maybe I just assumed that I put my money down and I get
you will
my product
get them
back.
When they're available.
Oh, when they're available. Okay.
I'm sorry, did you want them before they were available?
Do you want just a box of nothing? Just a box of
them,
air?
You want a promise?
I want them when they're available.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Thank you, Ari Gold. Let's take a look at today's... let's take a look at the weekend's top 10 movies at the box office. Logan is 85. $3 million made it number one this weekend. Pretty impressive. $26.1 million for Get Out. The Shack debuted with $16.1 million. Lego Batman came in fourth. Then Before I Fall, John Wick, Hidden Figures, Great Wall, 50 Shades Darker, and La La Land routed out the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. And while we were talking about movies and talking about Beauty and the Beast, Russia is debating whether to allow that film to be shown in its country or not, because, according to the Russian government, it is feeling pressured to ban the film because it violates the 2013 gay propaganda law. The culture minister of Russia says he's going to have to review the film before it's released in Russia on March 16th because Josh Gad's character, LeFou, in this film, Gaston's sidekick, gets a crush on him and apparently has a charmingly harmless gay moment at the end of the film, reportedly. But that may be enough to push it over the edge for all the gayness that it's promoting aimed at children in Russia with all their gay fears.
I'm confused a little bit, Ralph, because how is it promoting homosexuality or just by showing that it exists in the world, how is that promoting it?
Bean, everyone knows if people? You see someone gay, right. You become gay.
It's the old slogan, see gay, be gay.
I've heard
oh,
it for
I
years.
Didn't realize
right?
that. Okay. Yes. Gotcha.
It's second it's only science. To see girl and buffalo and become someone that loves bestiality. It's just bizarre. She falls in love with a hairy buffalo man.
He's not a buffalo
He's
man.
He's a buffalo
He's
man.
He's a beast.
He's a beast that looks like a buffalo. And people are
Don't
cool with that.
Don't touch my rose. He says, look.
Yeah, people don't seem to have any problem with that aspect of the show.
Children right? become talking candelabras, too? Will
Possibly,
that happen to them?
Yeah.
Is there a
science?
I have a
candelabra
friend that turned right into
ball?
A teacup when she saw it as a kid.
Very confused by
Russia
this.
And Alabama have more in common than Jeff Sessions.
This was a success. It's Friday.
Jeff Sessions! Fix that in post. Today's celebrity birthdays, Rob Reiner, 70 years old today. Tom Arnold is 58. DJ Hughley celebrates his 54th birthday. Connie Britton turns 50. Shaquille O'Neal is 45. And Tyler, the Creator, is 26 years old today. Remember that time Bean was talking to Tyler, the Creator?
We've actually never had Tyler, the Creator on the show.
I remember that it was yesterday. That interview went
on.
So well.
What's your job like when you wake up in the morning?
Usually I wake up in the morning, eat some cereal.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the computer. And, you know, I don't know. I don't really come up with ideas.
And that's how the interview
come to me, you know?
That's how the interview ended. That was all the time.
No, actually, it kind of kept going, the interview.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there going to be much music on it as well, or just acting?
You'll see.
But that was the end.
No, actually.
At this point, somebody hung up on somebody,
you
I
You were
hope.
Inspired.
There's actually something people can walk into a store and buy today. Is that right?
Sure.
Bean is like a young Mike Wallace.
Sure.
He is an investigative reporter of great power.
Look.
And he can get to the bottom of any story and get people to open up in a way that they wouldn't ordinarily for other interviewers.
A lot of times, it's my fault. It's on me. I've done a poor job. I feel like I was doing the best I could with Tyler, the Creator there. I really do feel like I was trying. I don't think that was 100% on me this time.
You're all right. You're entitled.
Why do some people tune out?
Tyler sounded like he was giving all he could, right?
Yes, he was giving as good as he got.
The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, you guys, and we all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m.
Tomorrow, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this week.
Thanks, Ralph.
You're welcome.
Tomorrow's show is going to be a good one, though, because not only are you going to attempt to recap 3 hours of Bachelor Goodness at 8:05 tomorrow
morning. Piece of cake.
Do we need more than one segment? How are we going to handle this?
Oh, please. I will weave a tapestry of dreams.
Okay. I'll look forward to that. I will hold you to that. That's going to be Ralph and P tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Oscar-nominated director Danny Boyle is going to be in studio with us tomorrow.
Oh, Danny Boyle.
That's Danny Boyle.
The flicks you're making.
He's the 127 Hours guy. He's the Slumdog Millionaire guy. He's Trainspotting and the new Trainspotting 2. All of that tomorrow on the show. We have more Incubus Jimmy Eat World tickets to give away on the program today. Bjork is coming to town for a very exciting reason. We're looking forward to telling you all about
Where's the immigration ban now when we need it to keep her in freaking Iceland?
And apparently, there's a guy named Kevin who used to work on the show, and apparently he's coming back, making a special appearance tomorrow and bringing with him a feature he likes to call Thanks for That Info Bean. I'm not sure we need that, but that is what's scheduled for tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show on K-Rock.